Recorded live.
Yeah.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Morgan Freeman, and I'd like to welcome you to, the Molehole Radio. And, on behalf of it being Black History Month and everything else, I've been invited on to greet you and introduce the show's host. And, I think I'd like to start with a little, little related poetry and from a group that's associated with this fine radio program, which, in my opinion, is a bit coarse and can kind of walk on the line of racism. But in the words of a band called Headings in the Oven, Pants Spectre, Decathlon of Hate, Love Hammer, Great Mystic Eagle Taint, Smell the Sack of Democracy. Rip tide of sound drowns your decency. Take the shaman. Take the shaman. And without further ado, I'd like to introduce the sweet baritone of El Topo.
Well, hey, thanks there, Morgan Freeman. I cannot believe Cox got you on the show. And from what he told me, we have exclusive, that's right, folks, exclusive movie news that involves you and a certain very loved video game franchise. Is that correct?
Oh, that's right, son. I'm very happy to be on and talk to you about it. It's going to be interesting. I hope everyone enjoys.
I already know. I can't tip my hand, but if you stick around, folks, you are definitely in for a huge piece of movie and video game news at the same time. But Morgan, thanks for stopping by, and we'll talk to you a little bit later.
Take care, sir.
Thank you. Wow, Morgan Freeman.
Handsome.
Did he ever win an Oscar? Because he should have.
Yeah, if he did, he should have. Smells of leather and pride.
Yeah, I would imagine he smells like a really nice old house, like at Christmas time with a fireplace. That's kind of what I imagine.
Like a very durable suitcase.
Many leather-bound books.
If dignity could have a smell, that's what Morgan Freeman would smell like.
Morgan Freeman. Yeah, dignity smells like, yeah.
Yeah, it's amazing. But Goggs, I'd like to welcome you. I'd like to welcome everyone listening
to another
glorious episode of the Molehole Radio. I'd like to thank Bathroy for opening up the show with his unique brand of broken English Norwegian heavy metal, but I do love the guy.
Is there any heavy metal better than Norwegian heavy metal? I just want to objectively ask.
Absolutely not.
I don't think so.
The whole what's that region? The Netherlands. They've definitely taken heavy metal and made
it corner of the market.
What it is today. Them in England. You take the two of them, and it's pretty much heavy metal. But I'd also like to thank. We have a new persona in our ever expanding cast of characters. We have Mr. Vinny Razorballs himself. Vinny, are you there, my friend?
Hello, sir.
Hey, buddy.
How's it going today?
It is going well. It's better since you got on the phone. I am very, very excited to have you on the line.
I am very aroused.
Yes.
I'm glad to hear that. I know, hey, you were just talking about the Netherlands and, you know, their heavy metal. And I would just like to say that I think my Netherlands has produced some of the best heavy metal this side east of the Mississippi.
Talking about his dick, people.
I would be hard. it'd be hard for me to make an argument against that, Vinny. Especially since, you know, you do have the razor balls.
Well, it'd be hard for you regardless, wouldn't it there, Topo?
It would.
Whoa, talking about engorging
people. Whoa. Let me just tell you guys, we have a hell of a show lined up for you tonight. We have a bunch of people on the line. We got Zex. And Tim was on the line, but I think he's just back in the chat now, so he's listening. Zex, you there, buddy?
Yes, I am.
How's it going tonight, bud?
I'm just chilling right now. I'm enjoying Fat Tuesday, enjoying, jelly donuts right now.
What the hell is Fat Tuesday? Improvement Tiger like that.
It's a prequel to Ash Wednesday, the formal night. You get to eat the, jelly
when's
donuts.
When is it when you have to give up something? That's
tomorrow.
Oh, shit.
Tomorrow.
What are you giving up?
So basically what... Oh, yeah. What are you giving up?
Me? Right now?
Yeah, what are you giving up, Zex?
Chocolate.
You going to give up the Molehole Radio? Please don't.
No.
We need all the listeners.
No, apparently.
No, I can't give the goal that this show is. I can't give that up. I have to get rid of the chocolate. I have to get rid of all those sweets I have usually.
Yeah, well, all right. Well, that's one
I'll
thing.
I'll be giving
up
my standard hookers and cocaine.
You say that every year, and we break it every year. You're not much of a good Catholic.
It's hard to quit.
It really is.
Cocaine never tastes so sweet as it does off the crack of a hooker's ass.
Oh, boy. All right, well, let's move right into a segment that we start each and every show with. Of course, that would be our hate segment. As you will all know, hate
is the very fabric, beautiful. Makes up the very fabric of this show, beautiful, lovely hatred. And I'd like to ask Goggs, Mr. Goggs, what is it, sir, that you hate this week?
I have an incredibly specific hate this week, but it affects me nigh every day. it's on the Hulus, I would dare say a rival source of online entertainment to
okay.
our very own broadcast, but I can only listen to us, six times before. You can't bask in it all day, you know.
Yeah.
So
I mean, you hear the boing, you know, enough time. You hear that enough, and it's time to go. I can understand that.
Yeah, but you get it. Yeah. So, on Hulu, I get on there, and I'm usually watching, typically, you know, movies. Cliffhanger's on there right now, by the way, in case anyone's curious.
Movie.
Cliffhanger, Ghostbusters, and Fear and Loathing has been on there for a while, but I was watching it again today at work. And this really just bugs the shit out of me, and I don't know why, but every time I start up, you know, a movie that might be R-rated, that deep-voiced gentleman comes on and says, "The following is subject matter meant for a mature audience." And the fact that he says mature instead of mature just chaps the shit out of my ass. Like, it's not... Why would you ever need to say
what
that word that way? It doesn't
image.
Make sense.
It chaps the
yeah.
shit out of your ass.
Yeah. And it's just... I just don't get why someone would need... It's like people say aluminium, you know, or...
I've never heard someone
what are
say
words?
Aluminium.
Banal.
It's just really, really banal.
Yeah, I just, you know, mispronunciations, you know, I mispronounce enough things, I get it, but I mean, like, just blatant mispronunciation. It doesn't even look like mature. It's, you know, I just,
but it sounds
I don't know
more,
why.
It sounds more regal.
It
I guess
sounds more
it's
mature
like,
to say
it's like
it
people
mature,
that say,
I suppose.
It's like people that say literally, like, literally, yeah. like, it's, I don't know, it's just weird.
Literally.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's not hard. Just
yeah.
say it like a human. That's all I'm asking. And actually, this is a hot button debate in the Goggs household. What is
Uh-oh.
The correct pronunciation of the sticky sweet substance that goes on pancakes?
Syrup?
Incorrect.
That what
syrup. Yeah.
Syrup.
I just syrup.
Syrup.
Sir. Syrup.
I feel like syrup. It depends on what you drank the night before.
I feel it's always syrup. I don't know what syrup is, but it sounds stupid.
Goggs, didn't you drink a whole bottle of syrup once?
I drank a whole bottle of syrup once, and I threw
yeah,
up all that syrup.
Why
I never drank
tell,
syrup.
Why don't you tell our audience about the time you drank a whole bottle of syrup, or whatever you call it.
Follow that
yeah,
up with a gallon of milk story as well.
Okay, so here we go. Here's two great Goggs ingestion stories for our listening audience. Yeah. In my formative years, after watching the movie Super Troopers, some friends decided that we should have a syrup race because that's what they did in the movie. So me and three other like-minded individuals got four bottles of syrup, and outside of a party. Now, this is like the party started, and this was like the opening event of the party. So it was like everyone got a couple, and I was like, all right, let's do the syrup race, you know? So it's like, maybe the party started at 8, this is like 9:15. It's early in the evening. We all go outside, and four of us chug this bottle of syrup. Our own bottles of syrup. I finished third to start with, but then we found out that one of the guys didn't complete his bottle, so I actually got second. Then I sat there and got really hot and shook just violently. Just I felt awful. I was like, well, I gave myself
yeah.
diabetes. This will be fun. It's a good
and
thing I like needles.
Insulin breathing your body.
Yeah. So then I go into the restroom, and this is like 9:30. The parties that everyone else is having, everyone who's not an idiot, except for me and the – actually, no, I take it back. One of the guy who won felt fine the entire night. I think he did it just out of spite.
No
but
one really won that night.
Well, me and the other three guys, we're all feeling like shit. So I go in the bathroom and I start puking because I was like, I got to get this shit out of my system. Now, guess what syrup is? It's real fucking heavy. I mean, real fucking heavy. So it's at the bottom of your stomach. So I had to everyone out of the pool before the syrup would even come up. And when it came up exactly the same way it came in. It was just thick. It was hotter now and goopy, and it coated the throat. it tasted the same, thank God. It was kind of a pleasant ending to the forced vomiting, but it was just a big just glop of just cheap Food Lion syrup. And I felt like shit for 2 days. Now, also along the daring to eat things category, I also tried to do the gallon of milk challenge one morning over at a friend's house. And I made the, dare I say, rookie mistake of going to Denny's right beforehand and having a farmer's slam. So I had...
I don't want to be a seasoned veteran in this, by the way, if you made a rookie mistake.
Oh, I know. Yeah. Someone's got... Well, there's a seasoned pro for everything. So
you're right about that. Anyway, continue.
So I'm drinking this milk. I'm crushing it early. I'm like, we're 15 minutes in. I got half a gallon down. I'm like, fuck yeah, this is no problem because I love milk. And now I'm starting to fade a little bit. You know, it's like how a power hour wears on. About 15 minutes in, you're like, oh shit, what have I committed to? So there's about, let's say we're at about the 10 minutes left mark. I have roughly, I don't know volume wise, but in the gallon of milk, maybe an inch left in the thing, maybe a little less. So I just start slamming it, just like I gotta complete this. I gotta get this done. I get it all.
I like how,
in me.
Like you've got to do it. It's like,
you know, I like sometimes when it doesn't take a whole lot of physical effort or trying, I'm not bad at, you know, completing my goals. So I get all the milk in me, and it's up to my I swear it's just in my throat, like it's not going down, like it's, there's no room at the inn. You got to go have Jesus in the barn time. And at that point, I put down the gallon and I run out, and my friend's deck, it didn't have a railing or anything. It was kind of flat off. It's only like 2 feet off the ground. I kind of run over and almost sort of slide, and I'm laying flat on the deck, gripping the deck on both sides, scream vomiting milk and small pieces of cubed ham, eggs, and peppers from what felt like every orifice of my face. I thought that like a little piece of potato shot out of one of my tear ducts. And for a good couple of minutes, it's just like it's like a visible yell. Like it's just a solid mass. Like, you know, like I'm the Dane Cook vomit spewing dragon, or what, the vomit breathing dragon. Yeah, I know Dane Cook. But that was, you know, actually I got a third story that you might not have heard about as far as me mass ingesting something. Are you interested?
Please.
Okay. So, I know Razor Balls and Topo are familiar with my friend Lisa from Jersey.
I wish I was more familiar with her.
Yes, everyone does. So, I went up to visit her one time, me and a couple other friends, and she took us to this pizza restaurant where it was, it's called Pete Nelda's. It's in Jersey where she lives. And if you eat the entire large pizza by yourself, you get a t-shirt.
This sounds disgusting.
Now, you still pay for it. You know, you're paying
for the fucking
pizza. There's nothing free. It's a free t-shirt. Big fucking deal. You
but
can
you
just
get
buy
like
the
your,
t-shirt and not eat the
do
pizza.
Do you get like your picture on the wall or something?
No, you get the I ate the whole fucking pizza t-shirt. You get the I'm a pig t-shirt. So I was like, ooh, I want that. So there's five of us sitting there. There's Lisa, her brother, who is like a good 40 pounds heavier than I am, and my buddy Nick and my buddy Tap and myself. And we're eating the pizza. Now, here's what I found interesting. The order of finishing the pizza went thusly. Lisa won. Her brother finished second. I believe Nick got third. Tap got fourth. So I'm last man standing. And by pizza, I'm talking about what is essentially a cracker-thin crust that is roughly the size of a manhole cover with what could not have been less than a half an inch of melted cheese. I mean, it's like all cheese. And
any
it's like
toppings?
Maybe like, any? No, I just got a cheese pizza. I think one of them up the ante and got like pepperoni on it.
God.
So I'm standing there. So everyone's staring at me. I've got my head in my hands. I've got roughly half a slice left. and I feel like I'm going to die. The fucking bitch cunt ass shit waitress comes up to me and goes, look, I'll just give you the t-shirt. To which I look defiantly at her.
She's got it in her hand.
I take the cash out to pay for the pizza. I slap the cash on the table. I take the last piece of pizza, stare her in the eye, jam the pizza in my mouth, grab the t-shirt out of her hand, run out of the restaurant, and throw up in the parking lot.
You know, now that you mention it, I don't know if there's too many stories of gods that end with him not throwing up.
I just remember, I mean, for those of you listening,
I've done it a lot.
Vinny Razorballs Goggs and myself, we've all known each other for quite some time. But the funny thing
is, over a decade now.
It wasn't a party back in the day until Goggs threw up. Like, that was kind of like opening ceremonies. I don't know. Like, things have kind of changed now, but.
And then the party hit about the halfway point when I've passed out and come back to life.
Yeah, I was gonna say
you rally like a champion.
I'll make it real quick. But one of my favorite Goggs vomiting stories is the story I like to call the resurrection story. And this story, it was a party at Goggs was still living with me at the time. It was a big party at our house and lots of drinking. Like, all our parties usually started like sometime ridiculously early during the day. Like, we used to start our parties at, like, you know, 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
That's when we would start drinking.
True.
Yeah, maybe not a lot of people would be there, but Goggs and I would just be, like, power drinking like crazy. And then when everybody finally show up, me and Goggs were just hammered out of our minds. And I remember Goggs did this one time. It was also, there's a funny PS to this story. Goggs really wanted to do a toga party, but nobody else wanted to. So Goggs, much to his credit and his just tenacity, Goggs stuck to his toga party theme, and the poor guy was the only one walking around in a toga throughout the whole party.
But my lovely wife joined me.
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry about that. But
her do it.
So Goggs got just blasted ass drunk and. Like, went up to the bathroom, puked a bunch, and then went to his bed. And I figured, well, he's done. Like, I didn't think he would be coming back, you know, till the next morning when we went and got breakfast or something. And I'd be damned if that motherfucker, 2 hours later, wasn't downstairs, fresh as a daisy, breaking out the fucking beer bong like a champion, and just kept on going. It was literally like what, you know, what the early Christians must have felt about Jesus Christ. Like, they saw him go into the tomb with the rock in front of it, and then he pops back out and then ascends into heaven. That was exactly what it was like. Goggs is a lot like
days.
Jesus to me. But... Man, those were so much fun back in the day. But we're getting way off topic. Anything else you hate, Goggs? But those were good stories. I'm glad that was some good stuff. I like that.
No, that was just my big. That's just people who can't say shit, especially mature. But regardless,
it is annoying.
I'd like to know what you hate, though.
Well, I'm glad
that's
that
what
you
I want to know.
I'm really glad that you asked. Actually, I have a couple of things. But first off, I got to say that I hate my job. It doesn't require me. It's a funny story about that. They threw this on me at the last minute, but I'm actually on call right now. I'm the supervisor on call. That means that, quite honestly, there could be an emergency that I got to run out on during the show, and I'll have to stop the show. In writing the outline for the show tonight, I actually was trying to make things go fast, but you know how that never works.
Most content-rich plan of all time.
Yeah, we have tons of stuff to get to, but it doesn't matter. Hopefully things will be fine and the phone won't ring, but it sucks being on call. I've been on call all this weekend. I've been on call since Friday, so all weekend up till today, and, you know, it hasn't really been that busy. I've had to deal with a few things. I had to deal with a bunch of stuff on Sunday, but it's just a hard thing to describe. Like, it's just terrible to be on call because... it's not the phone ringing. It's like you sitting around waiting for it to ring. Like, you can't really get involved in anything because, like, what if the phone rings? You know what I mean? Like, I wanted to go see Wolfman
all
weekend.
And then you can end up wasting
weekend.
A whole day because
exactly.
You can't do anything.
But you can't really do anything. You got to, you know what I mean? You're kind of chained to you know, somewhere close to your house or something you can kind of break away from at any moment. And it's just, it's awful. I mean, it's, And I'm real bad with kind of anxiety issues sometimes, and this being on call is just wearing on my nerves. But I just wanted to get that out first and foremost. Hopefully, fingers crossed, nothing will happen, and we can finish the show and do the show and everything. But I just wanted to say, if I do have to suddenly stop the show, I mean, I'll let you guys know, but I do apologize, so hopefully it won't happen. But it really sucks being on call, and I fucking hate it. Oh, God. And I also hate all the gas that I'm having right now. I hate the Olympics. I hate the fucking Olympics.
Dagger!
This is a multi-tiered, this is like a trident of hate, because this branches out in several ways. I hate the core events of the Olympics. I just don't understand. I hate it. It's boring. Like, I don't know why I care. It's just lame. So I hate the event itself. Then I hate several things around the event. All three of us watched the three of us being Mr. Razorballs, Goggs, and myself. We all watched the opening ceremony at Goggs' house last Friday. And that was the most boring fucking hour and a half of TV I've ever seen, or however the fuck long it is. I don't give a fuck about, like, Eastern Albania and the three fucking luge athletes they have in the Olympics. And I don't care about Indians in Canada and giant ice penises and all this other gay crap. I don't understand who the fuck, like, I know I sat there and watched it the whole time, but I was trying to be polite. I really wanted to leave, but I felt like that'd be rude. And it was fun to be around to make fun of things, because when things go really
bad... We were
bad,
mocking it pretty well.
Yeah, we were screaming at the television.
It's still terrible. I do think, and I have to throw a small dagger
mocking
at Goggs.
Lesser comfort.
Goggs was really... Goggs has a smaller TV in his living room, and he has a much nicer TV in his basement, because that's where he plays video games. But Goggs was really insistent that we go downstairs and watch all this crap in high definition for reasons I will never know, because there was no need to see anything in high definition. There was nothing on the screen of any kind of compelling nature. I don't understand why you wanted to go down there.
It could
so
have been
bad.
Nipple.
I guess. But I hated that
opening
ceremony.
I'm more comfortable
ceremony.
In my basement. I hate staring at a small TV. I can't fucking... If I have the option to look at something bigger... I go back.
That's what you said. Now, lastly, the thing... the opening ceremonies were a fucking joke. It was awful, and it was boring, and it was stupid. I said this while watching the event, a quote-unquote event. They really should just put Russia back together and just, you know, start communism over there again. Because that would
There's
cut
a ton of them.
Yeah, that would cut at least 45 minutes out of that crap. They'd just go... Russia, and it'd be like 60 of those teams would be one. It'd be fantastic. I mean, you know, communism's bad, blah, 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 blah. But you know what? They still live in fucking Russia. Things aren't that great, I'm imagining. But anyway, take that.
Their capitalist bread lines are shorter than their communist bread lines.
Yeah, I mean, they still live in fucking Russia. It's like, you know, it's like living in Compton, except you got like a nice penthouse loft or something. It's just like, it's good. It ain't that great. Okay, now... The last thing I hate about the Olympics is a little bit more serious, and it has more to do with just the media and everything. So I'm sure, and we're going to talk about this a little later. We actually have a special guest to talk about this. Actually, I'm going to use this to kind of segue into that. But as I'm sure you all know,
oh, should I get him mic'd up?
Yeah, get him ready. I'm gonna you'll know okay. when I'm done my point. I'll go ahead and introduce him when the time's right. But I'm sure you all know there was a luger, and I guess that's the proper way to call this, the people that go in the luge.
One who luges?
Yeah, would be a luger. Well, the guy died in this super dangerous, like, turn. And first of all, how the hell, who designed this course? Like, they showed it on TV, and this giant turn, then 3 feet away from this giant turn where there's no frickin' wall is... seven, like, giant steel beams. Like, it doesn't make any fucking sense. It's like, who designed this? Like, put some pillows around the beams. I don't know. But,
they also sent a pack of wild wolves after him once they leave the starting gate.
I mean, why don't they just set the luge on fire? I mean, I don't understand. But, so, anyway, my real beef is the guy died, and it's tragic and all that nonsense, but... the freaking news showed the film of him dying, like, repeatedly.
Oh, yeah.
I saw it, like, five times.
That was blatant.
I saw it Friday,
And I saw it over the weekend. And you got to understand, people, I don't even watch that much TV. And I was just flipping through the channels, and I saw it at least 3 to 4 times. And, like,
imagine
again,
if he was American. Imagine how many times you'd be seeing it. It'd probably be on a T-shirt now.
You can talk about the guy dying. I don't have any problem with that. In fact, they should talk about it because it's tragic. But there's no need to actually show the video of that guy dying. That's, like, that's horrible. That is just,
that's,
I don't know,
shock,
it's just
journalism.
It's really scummy. Like, that's not, I mean, you know, it's just gross.
The family,
like,
is repeatedly asked not to see it. You think, well, out of respect for them.
Yeah, out of respect. I mean,
they would just fucking stop showing it.
It's just common sense. Like, honestly, like, when I first saw them show the video, I said to myself, I can't fucking believe they showed that. Like, I couldn't believe that they would show that on TV. Like, sure, the news will show, like, footage that's pretty horrific, but usually the line's drawn when somebody dies. Like, it's pretty, that's pretty scummy of, who is it that's showing the Olympics, NBC or ABC?
NBC.
I think it's NBC.
NBC.
Jay Leno's home base.
It's really, really fucking scummy. Like, I, it makes me feel, it's just awful. I don't know, I don't know why I expect more out of this world, and especially the media, but, I mean, showing that guy dying over and over and over again just seems really
wrong.
Just unconscionable and horrible. And, I mean, I know I'm a fucked up guy and I say a lot of fucked up shit, but there should be some kind of line, I think. I mean, people are always going to clamor, well, you know, people have the right to see it, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. But when you don't give them the choice and you just throw it up there, it's a little different. And I just, again, like Gog said, the family asked them not to show it, and they just kept showing it. And they showed it because they could. And it, I don't know, it just doesn't sit
in
the
right
way.
Here's a question. Are they at least, I don't watch a lot of TV. I don't think I watch TV really at all, but
yeah.
Are they at least having the decency to go, the video you're about to, are they at least giving you, like, a heads up beforehand to, like, avert your eyes or to not look?
I mean, I know that
they should at least do that.
I don't believe that they did on Friday, but at the same time, I couldn't really hear the TV. And again, the other times that I've seen it in passing, I honestly, it was just me flipping through the channel, so I don't know. I'm going to say probably, but still.
And you've been able to hit it that often?
Even if they did that, even if they're like, you know, what you're about to see, it's like they know what they're doing. Them saying that is just them, it's lip service, you know what I mean? But, we have a special guest that Gog's got
this
hold of.
This segues well. You're fucking. This will go good.
And we have now, obviously, for legal reasons, he is a Southern senator, actually a U.S. senator. But, you know, he needs to keep, so he doesn't slander his own career.
I must maintain some level of anonymity.
Yeah, you need your anonymity, and we can appreciate that, but you got a hold of Gog's. You're listening to the show. You're a very big fan of the show, and you emailed Gog's.
I am, sir.
And we got you. Gog's got you on the call. So I wanted to give you a sec. We just talked about the tragic death of the loser. that sounds so horrible.
It does, wanted to
give you a few minutes to talk about your point. So please, sir, Mr. Southern Senator, go ahead.
Well, thank you, son. And I'm rightly sad that this had to happen here. It's a shame because a man died supporting his country and representing him in the Olympics. One of the best things you can do in this world. And a man.
Yeah, that's right. I'd agree with that.
And I was born in Charleston, South Carolina. Down in Charleston, we respect men that, you know, support their country and represent their country. We support Americans that are tough and strong and go off to war and beat other countries in sports. That's what we like down in South Carolina. And I'm a man from our neighbor Georgia to do this and then die.
Oh,
it's just a tragedy. And so I have a bill put forward to have a statue erected in his honor in Atlanta. Now, I never heard of his hometown, but there's a lot of little towns in Georgia I've never heard of. And he's got an interesting name. I think he might have been of Italian descent. But it's a fact that an American died defending our country's honor is something that all of us Americans should be aware of.
Now, with all due respect, because, you know, I know you're a Southern gentleman and all, and I
I appreciate, I can definitely, you know, respect that your effort that you're putting into this, but I think that you may be a little misinformed. The guy that passed away, he wasn't from the state of Georgia in the United States. He was actually from the country of Georgia. It's in the former Soviet Union. Actually, we talked about that a little earlier. He came from the country of Georgia. It's in the former Soviet Union. It's not in America. It's not that Georgia. It's in former Russia. You understand?
Now, wait, now, son, hold on. Now, hold on there, son. Let's not say anything we can't take back. Now, there's a dead American boy, and you're calling him a communist right now to me, sir. Is that what you're saying, sir?
Well, he's not American, so no, that's not what I'm saying. He's from
Georgia, sir.
But no, there's a Georgia in the world, another Georgia. It's in the former Soviet Union. It was in the news a few months back.
Have my aide Google.
They invaded
it.
Russia. All right. He's checking his facts, folks.
Well, I do declare. So what you're saying is we have a dead commie in Canada.
Well, I don't believe they're communists anymore, but I think.
Tigers change their stripes all the time. All right. Well, then here's what we're gonna do. We're gonna keep the statue. And it won't so much celebrate how he lived so much as it celebrates dead communism.
Wow. Don't you think that's a little, you know, that's a bit of an overreaction?
You sound a minor red, son. What are you trying to pull here?
Well, I don't think, you know, I don't think this is the Molehill Radio is the right place to start like a new McCarthy act or anything.
Was a gentleman, son.
Yeah, but,
what color was this loser?
He was white. I know that.
Well, I do feel a little bad.
I think we've heard enough from you tonight, Senator. But we do appreciate you stopping by. Hopefully you can maybe lean in on some political talk maybe later on in future episodes of the show.
Well, I do believe that this is a little bit of a left-wing. Goddamn, son, I've been drinking that bourbon. This is a little bit of a left-leaning show, and I think that a little small right talk might be good for you. So I'll be happy to come back by whenever. I'm still a big fan, regardless. I enjoy your comic reviews. I'm a big Marvel fan myself.
Nice. Nice.
Yes.
All right. Well, thank you, sir. I appreciate
back
that.
Back to Washington, sir.
Wow. Well, you know, have a safe trip.
Away.
Wow. That was him speeding away in his government car. Wow.
He actually has it's like a Cadillac limo with the big horns on the front.
Oh.
And
so
he
plays like a
Dixie.
Texan. Wow. Huh.
Well, I mean, I don't know. He took the plates off, and he never tells me his name.
I think. I think we need to buy him a globe from the show. I mean, he obviously
our $4 cash, we can get him
our $4 petty cash budget. Yeah. Oh man.
Angry.
God, where do we
angry
go from
man.
There?
I don't know.
Just before
we're
close,
sorry, country of Georgia and former Soviet bloc.
Yeah, I on behalf of everybody here at the Molehill Radio, would like to say that the Southern Senator's comments do not necessarily reflect the views of the Molehill Radio. And we feel really sorry for the German loser losing his life. And
he's
feel
Georgian.
Bad. What did I say?
German.
Oh, same difference.
A
Let's
Nazi.
Move on.
He's not a Nazi, he's a commie.
Oh, they've been taken over by evil commie Nazis. I've been told I do the worst Arnold Schwarzenegger impression, but I think it's awesome. But so we might have to get Arnold Schwarzenegger on this show coming up.
Schwarzenegger's not bad. You know, your Schwarzenegger's not too bad, is it?
Get to the job. It's terrible. It's funny because I sound like I sound retarded.
Get down!
Oh,
not a Zuma. Stop
the reactor. Oh, man.
Crisp. Hello, Crisp.
All right. Moving right freaking along. Let's try to deal with the fucking aftermath of the Southern Senator.
That what racist Southern Senator.
What a
racist
atom
and
bomb.
A bit of a xenophobe.
Yeah. Yeah. Vinny, how did you feel about that segment? It was pretty off-putting, huh?
Shocking.
Well, I do hate politicians. So as long as we're
mm-hmm.
going the hate route, that's where I stand on that. But you know, they set up that luge. What do they even call that? Is it a track? Is it a trail?
I would assume it's
a sliding center.
All I'm saying is, I'm pretty sure somebody did it on purpose. That was a death trap.
Yeah,
you expect foul play.
I do. I'm throwing the conspiracy card in there.
Do you think this Georgian loser was the target? Or do you think this was a missed opportunity?
No, I feel like that senator didn't sound like he liked the liked that particular Georgian.
Intrigue. I see what you're saying. Ooh.
So potentially this senator could have a commie bent. So you're saying if any other former Soviet bloc athletes die at this Winter Olympics, it might be due to the direct sabotaging of the racist Southern senator.
I love what you're saying.
I'm not pointing any fingers. I'm just putting the puzzle
stinks
pieces together.
All the way to the top. Man.
It does.
Whew.
Bow.
Man.
Jesus. So that's how I feel about that.
Zex, you got anything to add to this? I mean, I'm kind of have to take a minute because I'm reeling from that. It really kind of blindsided me, I'll be honest with you. But do you subscribe to the whole idea that there could be a government conspiracy involved with the Georgian loser's death?
No, I do not.
Not at all? I don't know.
That sounds like a compatriot of a conspirator to me.
I have faith the fact that they're denying us hockey NHL now because the Olympics are just stopping. I can't watch the Blackhawks game right now.
I agree with that.
I have a fantastic Blackhawks jersey, Zach. So you know.
You have a
Clark Griswold.
Yeah, it's awesome. But anyway, let's move right along to something that is also hard to deal with and hard to explain, and it's going to definitely leave me reeling since we're going to talk about it. But I wanted to Goggs sent me a link to this because he was fascinated by it. But I wanted to kind of talk about internet dating a little bit. I also wanted to talk about specifically this website that Gog sent me called CougarLife.com. Gog, would you like to illustrate what CougarLife.com is to our lovely audience?
Well, CougarLife.com was one of, I guess, several websites where more mature women can find find men folk, and they've got everything from wives wanting to cheat to I forget what my favorite one was. It was like Cougar Match or something, where it's like you can either log in if you're a cougar, and if you're not familiar with the term cougar, it is an attractive, sexually experienced older woman, not necessarily a mother because that would make her a MILF. It's kind of like how a square can be a rectangle, but a rectangle can't be a square. A MILF is probably a cougar, but a cougar is not necessarily a MILF.
Right.
You can be a cougar and log on, or you can be a cub. A cub being, I think you have to be under 30, fit, ready to party young man. So it's you can either log in as cougars searching for cubs or cubs searching for cougars.
So they're trying to set up some kind of brazier sex scene going on every time.
I am blown away by the fact that this term is even being embraced. I always thought that, I guess it's better than MILF. I guess cougar kind of has
a lot catchier positive
connotation.
Yeah, and it's,
you know,
it's
but
kinda...
MILF is a positive connotation.
Yeah, but
honestly, unless you're a young broad, you don't want to be called a MILF.
A MILF is positive connotation, but it also has the word fuck in it. And yeah, women are about, cougar is more.
These websites might as well just say, I want to fuck.com. Like, that could be the name of the website. I mean,
well, you're right, but I'd like to. I mean, think about it. How many Cubs do you think? What do you think the Cub to Cougar ratio is? I guarantee you that it's like probably loaded with guys. It's just like ladies' night at a bar. You know what I mean? Like at a shitty bar, I should say. Like,
well, I mean, there must be enough Cougars involved to support the site. I would hope.
You know what though? Well, here's the thing, and I only know this from personal experience and not from – I've never been on CougarLife.com. Honestly, and I may be, like, the only one. I think I might be sometimes. Like, I'll be 29 in March. I have no interest in, like, 40-year-old women. Like, now, if there's a hot one, like, sure, I'd bang her. But, like, I don't – like, that's not, like, a fetish or that I get off on. Like, I actually rather have them younger. Like, I don't know. Anyway – a lot of these websites, and this is just a model for everything on the internet, from like personals to any almost all the websites. A lot of these dating websites, it's all fake profiles in order to get you to subscribe to their service. Like they fill those things with hundreds, if not thousands, of fake profiles, and I guess a lot of them even have this thing where it's almost like a bot, I guess, that writes you messages and stuff, so it keeps you strung along. Now, I'm not saying that there's probably, I'm sure there's got to be some women on there, but it's almost assured that they're not the hot ones that you probably see when you browse their site for free.
Here's my big problem. I think the way I figure it is, you know, and this is always something that's pissed me off. Anytime a broad's ever been like, "Oh, I can't find a man." Yes, you could.
Oh, you're
just,
yeah, that's a
you're
woman
just fucking
thing.
Around.
Yeah.
So, especially like a cougar, like, you know, yeah, they wouldn't need the internet to find, you know, a man.
Well,
you know, if they really wanted to, they could probably just troll a high school party with a 6-pack of beer and be complete.
Let me play devil's advocate for that. Obviously, I'm not 40 years old and I'm not a woman, so I don't know how it is. But I do know that as there's still time. I do know that as I get older, I find myself becoming less and less social. And I imagine by the time I'm 40, I'm going to be such a recluse that like you're probably never going to see me. And I can imagine.
Well, and
now hold on, let me finish.
I'm sorry.
If you're a cougar,
I'm sorry,
or a
sweetie.
MILF. If you're a cougar or a MILF, maybe you have, like, kids and, like, a family. Like, I imagine that those would be reasons why you'd want to find somebody to fuck on the internet, because you don't have maybe the right, social skill set anymore to get out in the world. Now, that's the lie they sell you. I'm not saying that that's going to happen. I'm saying it could happen.
So you're thinking that maybe these people are just too busy to try and track down their own prey,
or
and they'd
like
rather
maybe
just lure them in via the internet.
And maybe they're just, you know, maybe they just don't want, maybe they're not that social anymore. Maybe they don't want to go to, like, a bar. Maybe they, you know what I mean? Like,
odds are if it's a cougar, it's a hardworking woman. She's probably a lawyer, or maybe she wants to open her own hair salon, and she's probably a busy lady. So she just needs to fuck on the break.
There you go.
I get it.
I mean, maybe. I'm just saying that it's possible. Again, I think it's all fake. I personally think it's all fake, so
I'd like to think it's real, but you probably have a... Well, weren't you saying the same thing with
Craigslist?
With some of that Craigslist stuff, it was
all of it.
Bullshit.
All of it.
Now, here's a funny little tangential thing. I just want to get this out real quick. CougarClub.com is the home of the BYU Cougars, which is Brigham Young University's sports team, and I think that is hilarious.
That is
keep
funny.
Going.
There's a website that's called like backpage.com, and that is it's like another Craigslist that somebody at work told me about, and I went to their like intimate encounters classifieds, right, just to fuck around, see what happens, and I just messaged a shitload of them, like, why not, you know, and every single one of them was fake, and it was funny, half of them, they were the same message with the name changed. So it was like, and they all do the same
just
thing.
Just phoning it in.
They all do the same thing. They want you to use this age verification website. And, you know, if you're dumb enough to give your credit card to anybody on the internet, then you're a well, not like
then you deserve
an Amazon.
It.
Yeah, but that's exactly what it is. It's a fucking scam. And it's all a scam. And it, yeah, it's a little sad that there aren't. I'm sure now there are girls that are on the internet that want to just fuck, but you're going to be hard pressed to find them.
They're in the former Soviet bloc. They now, both want to get married and come eat.
Or in Wisconsin.
Now, I do want to talk about another website that I find hilarious, and it's a dating website. Now, Gogs, you were surprised to learn about CougarLife.com. Ugh, excuse me. But I had already heard about it because they advertise a lot on Sirius, satellite radio, the Howard Stern channels. They actually sponsored an event for Howard. So I had heard of them a bunch of times. And their ads are really funny, too, because it's like this sexy chick, and they're like, ladies, you might be experienced, but you need to find a young man to satisfy your needs. And, yeah, it's funny. But there's another website
that
I think...
It should be straight to the point. It should be like, are you old and like to fuck?
Are you
moderately attractive?
Are you looking for young guys to fuck? There's another great website that's advertised a lot on Sirius that I actually think is more fucked up than CougarLife.com. And it's
I think I know where you're going with this.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. It's called AshleyMadison.com.
I've heard
now,
of that.
If you haven't heard of it, if you're not like Gogs, if you haven't heard about it, Ashley Madison is a dating website that's set up for people that are married and want to, like, cheat. Like, that's expressly what they are set up to do. Like, that's what they're...
What's their hook? It's like, it's not... There's nothing wrong with looking or something?
Well, they, I don't know, because their radio ads are pretty explicit as to, like, well, you deserve, you know, you might be in a relationship, but, like, you deserve the sex that you want or something like that. And, I mean, it's literally set up, they're like, everyone cheats, so you should cheat, too. Like, it's very funny.
They have billboards.
Really?
Yeah,
I didn't know that.
I've seen an Ashley Madison billboard. It's like a woman, like, kind of like hiding, like half behind a curtain with her fingers up to her lips, like the shh kind of motion.
Right.
You know,
oh,
and
I know
I guess
that
behind
motion.
That curtain, all degrees of insertion are happening. I don't really know what's going on in the back nine. But like,
I mean, the Holland
Tunnel. Things are just in and out.
I'm not, like, offended by it. I mean, obviously, there's a lot of moral issues there, but, I mean, it's not the business's, I don't think it's the business's intention to worry about morality. They're just trying to make money. But
they're not making cheating happening. They're just, it's going to happen regardless.
It's
just cashing in.
Yeah, that's their message. It's just kind of funny that they have a dating website that's devoted to cheating. Like, I just think it's humorous. Anyway... And TalkShoe popped into the chat, and they want us to improve your experience by using TalkShoe. See tutorial and troubleshooting videos at TalkShoeSupport.com. And on behalf of the Mulhole Radio TalkShoe, fuck you. You're terrible. Terrible. Goddamn
TalkShoe.
Please
don't kick us off.
Nah. Do your worst.
You know what I do like to go to nowadays on the Craigslist?
What's that?
You're talking about the intimate encounters. I like to go to the intimidating encounters. Where I agree to meet some people in an alley somewhere, and there's like a good 20-minute stare down, and
that's
I get kind of scared.
Now, before we leave this topic, I do have to say that that other Craigslist that I was talking about, it's called Backpage.com. The cool thing about that is that all their all the pictures that they associate with all the intimate encounters and the escorts and all that crap, they can post like full nude pictures. So if you just want to look for, like, tons of hot naked girls for free, there's
the spank
all over
bank.
The place. Yeah, it's pretty awesome, actually. You know,
I'm going right now. I'm in Baltimore,
Maryland. I guess Craigslist, you can't post nudes, but Backpage is, like, all nudes. And some of the...
What's adult jobs, I wonder?
I don't know. Some of the... it's, like, nude models and, like, I guess, like, they... There's another scam where it's, like, they say they're shooting a porn video. And, of course, the picture's, like, the hottest girl you've ever seen, but she needs help finding actors. Like, yeah, right.
Oh,
you know?
Dude, listen to this one.
Okay, go ahead.
Need cash. Sell me your panties. Hey, ladies, I'm a discreet gentleman who's looking to buy your worn panties. We meet up in a public place and do the exchange. Send me a pic of yourself and let me know when you are willing to meet up. No games, please. He's
signed,
from Baltimore, and he's 35.
Signed V Razor Balls.
Yeah.
But The Mohole Radio. Here's the thing about all those dating sites and Craigslist. Anything you see posted by a guy is real. Anything you see posted, like, that guy is 100%
sad,
legit.
Like, desperate.
Yeah, that guy is 100% legit that's looking for panties. But, yeah, Backpage is good if you want to see naked pictures. But the funny thing is that some of the escorts, or let's say, aren't top-flight people, is the best way I can describe it. They're not they're not people that necessarily might want to see naked, and they are in the most provocative of poses. It's just like, oh, no. It looks like somebody threw a chestnut into a pile of chocolate pudding. It's just not good. It's disgusting. But enjoy
that.
She's
a confused Asian broad with fake tits.
I like that. Mm. But those are the best kind. Let's move right along. We are slowly trudging through this show. Kevin Smith, the popular nerd film director. I'm sure everyone here is familiar with his work. Clerks, Mallrats, Chasing Amy, all those great films. He got kicked off a Southwest flight the other day. He was going from, it was San Francisco to Burbank, California.
Burbank, California.
The basic story is he was on the plane, and the flight attendant asked him if he could fit comfortably with both armrests down, and he said he could, and she said he was too fat or something, and they asked him to get off the plane. Now,
Southwest says he's
not that big. He's fat, but he's not that fucking fat.
He's a big boy.
Now, Southwest says that they've had this policy for like 70 years or whatever, they've been around, that if a guy's too fat to sit in a chair, like if they can't, again, the rule is if you can't put both armrests down and sit comfortably, then you can't fly on the plane.
And strap your belt on.
But, I mean, maybe they just didn't know who Kevin Smith was. I thought he was fairly famous, it's odd that they would even do this to somebody that's a pseudo-celebrity. And of course he talked about it, and he's pissed off. He said he won't ever use Southwest again. I don't know why he put that statement out, like, big fucking deal. Oh no, Kevin Smith's not gonna fly Southwest anymore.
Dude, they live it. Airlines live and die on fucking support. And Southwest up until this point was like everyone's favorite airline. Like, they were always like the nicest.
Yeah, but
they got the free bag thing.
Do you really think that this is going to turn that many people off to him? I mean, honestly, isn't it just prices?
Well, apparently there
that
was
people...
there was like a Twitter explode. It was obviously enough of a problem that Southwest felt like it needed to give him multiple apologies. Like, he's got 600,000 more Twitter followers than Southwest does, and apparently they were all up in fat arms.
Well, Prozac in the chat, he said that's another part of the story that I forgot, so thanks, Prozac. That's a good piece of information. But Kevin Smith said that he's taken that flight. He takes that flight like 10 times a month. So, like, he's done this a million times, and it's never been an issue, and now it is. But researching the story, Goggs actually came across a group, and they've been featured in a lot of the stories that have come out about this. And it's for the Goggs. What's the name of the thing? It's the National.
The National Association to Advance Fat Acceptance.
Now
NAFA.
NAFA. Yeah. Now
it should be called. I'm going to lose a leg to diabetes.
Now, far be it from me to, well, fuck it, I'm going to say it anyway. How is there a group about the acceptance of fat people? Like, how is that even, exist?
Here's my big problem with this whole deal. And it's funny because it's like I'm swinging both ways on this story, but mostly because Kevin Smith.
Nothing new there, fag.
Nice. Hello. like, Kevin Smith isn't, like, speaking, like, NAFA is deciding to, like, take this up in arms as, like, their new poster,
well, yeah,
or whatever. Kevin Smith has nothing to do with NAFA. And so I think Southwest made a big mistake by kicking Kevin Smith off the plane. And if he fit, good. And he says he likes to buy two seats because he has the money to do it and it makes him comfortable. Fine. Apparently what happened was he was flying standby, so he couldn't get two seats. And then he was already secured in the seat, and then they kicked him off. And there was, like, a fatter guy on the plane. He made a real funny joke about it. Like, as he was walking off, the fat guy gave this fatter guy gave him a look like, please don't say anything. I guess it was like people getting carted off to concentration camp. Talking about you. So you got NAFA, which should be just. And I'm not the most slender man, and I'll freely admit that. You know, I'm not. But you know, if I tried, I could be. So I guess NAFA should be called the National Organization for the Advancement of Lazy Fuckers who just don't decide to get off their ass and work. Yeah. Because if I really wanted, if I got riddled with enough fat jokes, I probably would just, you know, puke myself thin and be done with it. But it's not
like a man.
Like a man. It's not like these people aren't a different race. They're not a different religion. They're not. This is not something. Well, maybe in like a rare case, but I honestly don't necessarily believe this either. Not with these statistics. That this is something that's thrust upon them and completely outside their control. You don't become 600 pounds outside of your own control. And most of the people they're talking about, I downloaded off their website the facts on size discrimination. Would you like to hear some of them?
It's like the
NAFA talking points.
I don't mean to interrupt you, but
go ahead.
We got the president of NAFA. On the line, I believe, and I think that he should probably go over some of the points. He can, you know, he can kind of relay from his point of view, you know, how he feels on these issues, and maybe he can.
Oh wait,
maybe he can enlighten us as to the purpose of his group.
I see him. He's Chris going himself through my door right now. I'm gonna go
and,
help him.
His name, ladies and gentlemen, while Guys gets him mic'd up, is William Farbury. I think he's back there. Hold on one second, everybody. Just bear with me for a second while we get Mr. Farbury mic'd up. He's going to shed some light on the Fat People Association.
Okay, big guy, come on.
He's getting mic'd up, getting greased.
Oh, my God. Okay.
Oh,
I'm
running out. Mr. Farbury. Is this Mr. Farbury?
This is Mr. Farbury.
I don't know, Mr. Farbury, if you listened to the show beforehand, but Goggs was going to talk about, you know, some of the statistics that your group cites, and I just wanted you to give us an overall view of how you feel your group acts in protecting the rights of fat people. Mr. Farber?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah,
okay.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. I'm this way. This is how God made me. Because God made food. And I don't think it's fair that I'm enjoying God's food. And that makes me. I bought a hamburger. What? Okay. So. Basically, fat people are being discriminated against. We're essentially our own race. And,
fat people are a race?
It's just as prevalent. It's an acceptable form of racism. So, this is good. Oh, God. Hold
up. Wait, are you eating right now?
Yeah.
What are you
eating?
Eaten
in 20 minutes. Ribs. I brought ribs. So.
Don't you see that you're not a race? Like you're not born morbidly obese.
You're born
as we're talking,
pounds, 6 ounces.
As we're talking right now, you're eating a rack of ribs. I mean, that's
because I gotta get up these stairs later and get to this house.
I
need my strength.
But I mean. All right, so let's move on. So you feel that fat people, it's an acceptable racism that you use, but it's an acceptable way to put people down. I mean, what?
If you called someone the N-word, everyone would be mad. But if you called someone a fatty, odds are they'll laugh.
Now, what if you called them a fatty nigger? Would
hello,
you there?
Well,
did you fall asleep?
I'm not too fond of the blacks, so I wouldn't mind half of that. But the other, the fat part would get me mad. So
now,
here's the
now
problem.
Let me ask you a question. I mean, don't... Mr. Farbury, you there? That's all right.
I've got it's narcolepsy. It happens.
I mean,
don't judge me.
Feel that it would be better for you to have a group that would raise awareness for, like, physical fitness and, you know, better
nutrition?
I'll tell you
what, I don't feel my left arm half the time.
I mean, but don't you think that's emblematic of a bigger problem? I mean, you know...
I see your pun there, you racist. That's the problem.
I mean, the thing is, you see, like, fat children nowadays with, you know, fat parents, it's because they're, you know, fed soda 24 hours a day and they're given candy and all. You know what I mean?
America, you should be able to choose what you eat, so.
I mean, I agree with that, but in your group, Mr. Barbary. Mr. Barbary, are you there?
Yeah,
I mean, you're you sound like an incredibly heavy man. I mean, you're like bee fat. Have you heard that joke by Patton Oswalt?
I've heard that joke. Patton Oswalt can. Oh, if I could catch him, he's like an angry little gnome.
Would you like a big bowl of buttered noodle?
Buttered noodle. I would. Now, here's the problem with that.
Yes.
I hear him describe that food, and all
yes.
I can think is, God, I want that. And I can't
what,
get him out of him.
What food was that he describes?
He was talking about he wanted a sourdough bread bowl, and he then wanted that filled with buttered noodles with hot pretzels crumbled on top, and then he's going to take it into the bathroom, and whatever you hear, do not open the doors. How did this sketch go?
Oh, man. I'm not going to be able to change your mind, but I think that to have a group that's for accepting people that are unhealthy is bad. You know, it's not about a pride thing or a self-image thing. It's a health concern. I mean, people that, you know, are
I'm
overweight.
I'm still here, aren't I?
Yeah, for how long? You're falling asleep? You're eating ribs to get upstairs? I mean, obviously, you're in bad shape. You can't feel your arm half the time. I mean, don't you feel that these are things that you should probably take care of? I mean, your cholesterol is probably
that
sky
Atkins
high.
That Atkins guy is dead, and I'm still here, so fuck him. Thin bastard.
Well, I guess this has gotten way off the rails, but did you want to speak about the Kevin Smith thing at all? Or?
Well, here's the thing. I fully sympathize with Mr. Smith and his situation. I can't tell you how many times I've been kicked off of planes, trains, boat liners, a highway, a Ferris wheel, an escalator, two elevators, three elevators. A Macy's, a parking lot.
Wait,
because
entire,
of my size.
Wait, you got kicked out of a parking lot?
Yeah.
Because, wow. What was that?
What?
Are you there, Mr. Farmer? What was? Are you all right? Was that? Did you have
I'm
a fart? What
I'm
was
fine.
That? I mean,
enjoying these ribs.
I think on behalf of the Mulhall Radio, we're gonna have to invest in a defibrillator for you because I hate to say it, man, but I feel like you're right around the corner. Hello?
Could you invest in a wrecking crew that could knock out one of these walls so I could just walk out of this fucking house? Jesus. These staircases
man.
Are so narrow. I don't know.
Yeah, they are. I have trouble with those myself over there at Goggs' house.
Well, he's a douchebag, skinny bastard.
Do you have any closing words before you go?
Well, I'd like to leave you with a couple of... goddamn.
Still good ribs, huh?
Still good. That famous Dave's famous for a reason. Okay, I've got some facts on size discrimination, if you wouldn't mind.
I would not mind. I would go ahead and speak your point, please.
I think we worded this wrong when I made this sheet, but there's been a 50% increase in size discrimination from 96 to 2006. I don't think we should have said increase, but you get the idea.
I understand.
60% of Americans are considered fat. I think you should know that. It's probably so. I think like what 12 people listen to your show. So like I don't know, like 7.5 of them are fat. So keep that in mind.
Well,
no seven of them
are seven of them are fat, and they ate half of the one guy, right? Or six of them are fat.
I bet he was delicious. And there are no federal laws in place to ensure equitable treatment.
No. Wait a second. So, what kind of treatment? What kind of equitable treatment do you expect? I mean, what do you want?
Wider everything.
That sounds reasonable.
I mean, yeah, all right.
Everything should be wider. I don't care whether it's a Wendy's drive-thru or a peep show booth. Everything should be wider.
All right. I mean, that doesn't sound like too crazy of a demand. I can go for that.
No. Now try and tell that to a landlord who doesn't want to give up the space. This
right
fat discrimination, or fat discrimination, as I like to call it,
right,
is the fourth most prevalent form of discrimination.
All right.
God damn. Only Michigan and six cities, Santa Cruz, San Francisco, Madison, Wisconsin, no surprise there, Urbana, Illinois, D.C., and Binghamton, New York, have laws protecting against weight discrimination. I was going to talk to that racist senator, but he called me a derogatory remark, threw a Twinkie at me, and left. I ate the Twinkie. One of three children has experienced weight bias from a teacher who think thinner kids are smarter.
That sounds true.
All right. Okay.
Fat
I mean,
students are significantly less likely to be accepted for admission to college, despite comparable academic performance.
Wait. Now that sounds pretty ridiculous. I mean,
yeah. Well, I said it on my sheet, so it's got to be true to me.
I mean, you sound like you need a towel over there. It sounds like I feel like
I'm
got
fine.
Your microphone.
I'm fine.
Are you sweating over there while you're eating those
ribs? It's very hot in here, and the ribs are. God, they're fine. I just want to eat the ribs.
Do you have any more facts for us?
I do.
Go ahead.
One out of three doctors in a study of 400 doctors listed obesity and associated obesity with noncompliance, hostility, dishonesty, and poor hygiene.
Well,
I don't know what that means, but it's on
the
sheet.
I've been around a lot of smelly fat people. I can understand that.
31% of nurses in one study say they would prefer not to treat a fat patient.
Let me tell you. Yeah, because they're stinky. I mean, that's one.
I've been in a hospital a lot, and they don't like me there. I can't figure out why.
No. What were you in the hospital for the last time?
Mm-hmm.
But you were in the hospital. You said you're in the hospital a lot. So.
Quintuple bypass. They actually took a good chunk of garden hose and rerouted some of my veins.
Now
I'm thinking about that syrup competition that I heard earlier.
It does sound interesting. Well,
it's
I
syrup.
Mean,
that's the one thing me and this skinny bastard over here agree on.
I hate to let you go, but we have another big guest lined up right after you. Try not to
smother him. Not bigger than me, I'm sure.
Well, not in size, but in stature, I assure you. But thanks for coming on the show. Eat a piece of fruit once in a while, William. I everyone
sure
that comes
fruit.
On the show, I. What's that?
Fruit is communist propaganda.
Well, we're gonna have to agree to disagree. How about that? I thank you for coming on the show, but I think we're gonna
I
have
can
to
leave
to,
your
uh,
listeners with something. I just like
please,
to think.
Please go ahead. Is that what you wanted to leave this with?
Yeah, basically, that's it.
All right, well, thank you, William Farbury, with the NAAFA. What's the group stand for again? I already forgot.
No, he's lumbering.
He left already?
I don't know what he's going to do. No, it's not the most speedy. He's already departed from the microphone, so I really don't think he's going to come back.
Man, all right, well.
That was noisy.
I don't think we learned anything about his group, really, or Kevin Smith, but, it was definitely something.
No. It was also very wet if you were on my side of the microphone.
It sounded wet.
I think you
have to
get your bedroom right now because it probably stinks like hell in there.
It sounded like if you took like a wiffle ball bat and hit it against a punching bag. Like it was just disgusting.
It's like if you took one of those hefty yard bags and filled it with mayonnaise and threw a hat on it and just rolled it into my basement. That's like the same level of. That's what I got. So
nice.
Ugh. And he left his ribs. His rib stainings here.
Well, God.
They didn't even make a point. He just sat there and just yelled and snorted. I mean,
I was trying to get through to him, but it really didn't work. I mean, he got
didn't
his
carry
mind.
That torch for shit.
He sounded starving.
Yeah, he definitely sounded hungry the whole time.
And out of breath.
Yeah. I'm very excited about this next segment. I know Goggs is also. He called me.
Oh, I know. I am.
Goggs called me about 8 million times about this segment over the last, I don't know, 5 or 6 days, including as soon as I got home and I was trying to masturbate, which is very annoying.
Well, when he texted me and he said he was coming, I was like, well, shit.
He's talking about our guest, not when I was masturbating.
I didn't even think about that.
Let's see here. But you heard him tiger like that. You heard it at the beginning of the show. You heard him at the beginning of the show, I should say. But in honor of Black History Month, you know, because a lot of people here on the Molehole Radio say that, or a lot of people that listen to the Molehole Radio, I should say, they say that we're maybe a little narrow-minded and we don't embrace ethnically our brothers and sisters.
A little monochromatic.
Yeah, it's a bit of a white-topia over here. But, you know, we love our African brothers and sisters. And street brothers and real brothers alike. But we got a special guest, a very prestigious actor, and just an all-around wonderful person. Mr. Morgan Freeman is here at the show. So
let me go grab Morgan again. I was hiding him from the racist senator and the fat guy. It's
probably a good idea.
Well, now, Topo, it's... Well, it's nice to hear your voice again.
Did anybody ever tell you you sound kind of like Tiger Woods and the racist Southern senator? It's astounding. I never picked that up before.
I've been told from time to time that I've been known to sound like some racist Southern senators and Tiger Woods. Now, Tiger Woods is a man of color, much like myself, and the Southern senator, just like myself, comes from the South, and there might be some similarities in the way the three of us all speak, but I assure you, we are three different people.
Understood. I'm going to let you... you know what? How would you like me to do this? Would you like me to break the big news, or would you like to do this?
Son, it's your show. I don't feel like I need to trample on it.
Fair enough. This is very, very big news. Maybe one of the most popular computer video game series of all time, Fallout, or what am I saying? Fallout. Half-Life is finally getting the big screen treatment. Half-Life, wonderful first-person shooter. In fact, we're still waiting for Half-Life 2 Episode 3 to come out. I don't know when it's ever going to come out, but we're still waiting for it. Great games that's finally getting the big screen treatment. And who is going to be the lead, the main character, Mr. Gordon Freeman? And that is going to be, of course, the man that I'm talking to right now, Mr. Morgan Freeman. They're going a little bit different. They're going with an older black gentleman. But, you know, the acting chops are going to speak for themselves. And, Morgan, I'll let you go ahead and explain how you feel about the film and maybe some plot details and maybe how it differs and how it's alike to the video game.
Well, thank you, Topo. And Well, I'm just happy to be part of it and happy to be on your show. It's quite a pleasure. My children and my grandchildren enjoy your program. And
the one you're dating?
Not well. Let's not get in. There's no need to be coarse.
Oh, sorry.
That's a formality now.
Understood.
As you said, I'll be playing the role of Gordon Freeman, a man who fights off head crabs and antlions alike. And the way this film will be shot is a little unorthodox in its methodology. Now, I've never heard of a movie being filmed this way, but the way I understand it is that, much like in the films, excuse me, I misspoke,
in the video game. Sure, absolutely.
I will be a mute, so you will not hear my soothing voice caressing your eardrums for the entire experience.
Well, that's a disappointment. That's not, I mean, that
I was a little surprised when I heard it. I saw and I read the script, and now it was 200 pages and not one piece of dialogue for Gordon Freeman. I was like, well, I'm kind of known for this voice. Why pick me? And they said, well, you're a very big actor, and you share a similar last name, so it'd be an easy transition. It was hard to argue, so. Now, the next piece of unorthodox information that they'll be throwing at us is the entire film will be filmed from a head cam on my head, so I will never actually be seen on screen more than just my hands and body, whatever I would see as Morgan Freeman.
So
it will be a direct port, essentially. They say the word port, and I don't know what that means, but they say port. And of the Half-Life 2 experience, apparently there's been two of these, and I'll be coming into what city was it? 7-9, I don't remember. But
I don't remember, actually. I don't remember.
It's some sort of Kanban utopia where humanity has been oppressed, and I will go around for 2 hours and explore physics and travel through space and time.
Now, do you get fight the gravity monsters. Gun? Do you
I will. Every weapon will be demonstrated at some point in the film. And
wow.
All the supporting cast will react to me and have conversations, one-sided as they may be. And there will be cinematic experience.
This is going to be a hell of a movie. I mean, you know, I got to say, it's an odd idea, the whole first-person thing with a mute main character that never actually speaks or is seen on screen. It's a strange way to go, but, you know,
The money.
Yeah, well, that and, you know, people loved Avatar, and they kept saying, well, it was like nothing I've ever seen before. That's what I kept hearing about that movie, despite its many, many flaws. People kept saying, well, the 3D is like nothing I've ever seen before. Well, honestly, a movie that you just described, a direct port, as it were, of a first-person shooter.
I don't know what that means.
Unlike,
I need to keep that in mind, son.
Oh, sorry.
I'm not sure.
Well, a game, you know, where you're holding a gun. What you described, a first-person an experience. That is unlike anything that I've ever heard of, ever in a movie. Aside from maybe the last 2 minutes of that awful Doom movie, they tried to do that.
And that's the director, he just kept yelling that at me. He kept saying, Doom, remember Doom.
Wow.
I loved it in Doom, remember Doom.
Well, that...
I never heard of this young man before. His name is Anderson. Something Anderson.
W.S. Andrew
Anderson?
W.S.
There might
Anderson
be letters involved.
Whoever did the Resident Evil
Paul
movie. Paul S.W. Anderson. Oh, he's directing it, huh?
Well,
wow.
You could call it directing, son, but I wouldn't necessarily call it that. But a paycheck's a paycheck, and a man's got to work.
Yeah.
There was one slight, I won't say token given to me, because that sounds racist, and we all know that the shortest month of the year is upon us, which is Black History Month, and
of course,
idea that upsets me in its own right, but that's not why I'm here. There was a concession made that I would get a soliloquy at the very end of the film, and you would finally see my face. And if it would please your audience, I wouldn't mind going through it right now.
Oh, no, absolutely. Go ahead.
Morgan Freeman, Gordon Freeman, suit of amber, suit of armor, trudging for humanity to save freedom, going through waterways and caves, crowbar in hand. Defeater of the Combine, defender of the free, a free man. Gordon Freeman. Finn.
Wow. That was...
I will actually say Finn.
That was beautiful. That was amazing. I'm speechless. I don't know, that was...
Well, I tend to do that.
I can't wait to see this movie. This movie is going to be unlike... I just can't wait. It's going to be incredible. I mean...
spectacle it will be. There will be bodies hither and thither. Far and wide.
Of course, I really just want to thank you and thank Gogs for getting you on the show, but thank you for dropping this huge news exclusively on the Molehole Radio. I really, really appreciate it.
I think that this is the area to do it. This is the key demographic.
I would agree. This is a big show, getting bigger every week. But this actually does a very good job in leading us right into our video game talk. So, Morgan, I'd really like, again, to thank you very much for showing up and telling us about Half-Life. But if you give Mr. Goggs the microphone back, it's time for his video game segment.
Take care, son.
You're welcome. A wonderful human being.
Andy Dufresne. I don't know why he said Andy Dufresne. I mean, we get
he's Morgan Freeman.
I just don't really see the
Little fish.
Little fish.
Video game talk, guys.
And Montaneo.
Your freaking topic. What do you want to talk about?
My Ballywick.
Indeed.
Oh, man. Well, let's see. There's a ton of stuff video game-wise we can get into.
Sure.
Let's see. First things first. I don't know if I... Had I beat Red Faction Guerrilla last time we had... by the last show? If not,
I think you had
pretty
played
fun.
It. I don't think you had beat it yet.
Honestly, last mission's insane, and it's fun to blow shit up. So, actually, thumbs up on that game. So, we've got Heavy Rain's the big thing coming out right now. That title just dropped. You and I have both played the demo. If you have a PS3, if you have a PlayStation 3, I actually recommend you play the demo and check it out. It's weird. It's not unlike anything you've ever played before, but it's kind of garbagey. I don't know. The plot sounds interesting. The plot seems interesting. I just think I'd rather watch it than quote unquote play it. Like, it's just a series of quick time events with really shitty controls. And honestly, I wasn't that impressed with the animation or the voice acting.
The people are
way deep in the uncanny valley. Uncanny valley. The chiclet teeth.
The voice acting was subpar. The animations were pretty good, I thought. I don't know if this is in every version of the demo, but there's this odd glitch that kept happening with this one character, like, flying across the room. it was
actually made
funny.
It entertaining or interesting?
But, the thing is, the best way to describe Heavy Rain is it's like Dragon's Lair. If you remember the old arcade game where it's like a cartoon and basically, something flashes on the screen and you have to either move left, right, up, or down, or hit a button, I think it was. That's what this is. It's just a little bit more fancy. Now, the thing that...
I didn't like Dragon's Lair, so...
Yeah, I mean, the thing that they try to kind of give you a little bit more immersion with is that to do all the tasks, the controls sort of mimic what you're actually doing, but it doesn't really make it a very compelling playthrough. Now, Game Trailers reviewed it and actually gave it a fairly favorable review. They said the storyline in it is really excellent, and... apparently
the story might be, but fuck it.
Apparently there's multiple paths, and one of the more interesting aspects of the game is that if a character dies in the game, apparently they stay dead. Like, there's no bringing them back, and the game just moves on without them somehow. So, they say that it's interesting and worth a playthrough, but I could never see spending $60 on something like this. I think it's an interesting...
I'd like to see the online multiplayer for it. I bet that'd be fun.
I mean, there's an interesting component to this game because it's different, but I would say if this came out as like a download only title for like $20, could have piqued my interest. But as a full $60 game,
fuck it, it's garbage. Look, it's unnecessary. It's once again, it's another example of unnecessary innovation. It's right up there with the iPad. I don't give a shit about your touch controls, and I don't give a shit about using fucking clunky controls and then
every little minute action having to do like some sort of like twisty quick time event, swizzle stick move to show someone my badge, to get under a rope, to go do something. You know, it's like if they took the controls from Resident Evil and made them worse and then made sure there was like no action. Like it's shit. And like any game where you can't, from a gamer's perspective, any game, or from this gamer's perspective, any game where you can't fail is not a game. You're just going through the fucking motions. I mean, what's the point? If there's no test, if there's no challenge, why goddamn bother? The developer already said you can never trigger a game over screen. There's four main characters. All four of them will never die. So someone's going to make it through
that
Regardless.
But here's another vantage point, and just throw it out there. The casual gaming market is
fuck
'em. Well, I agree. But there is probably a market for this game for people that don't usually like video games. They just want something interactive.
Well, that's
people,
incredibly mismarketed, because what
I'm looking at
guys
you,
on a goddamn PS3?
Well,
who's owning a PS3 that's a casual gamer?
A lot of people, it's the cheap Blu-ray player nowadays. But
you might have a point there.
I'm just saying that
has one and he doesn't game at all.
There's no if you want like a Wii type game, if you want a game like I could give Heavy Rain to I could give it to like my dad and he'd probably love it because he doesn't play video games and it's simple enough for him to pick up and figure it out. So
your dad, I bet, would call it faggy.
I'm not saying the game's. I'm not a fan of the game. I didn't like it, and again, I would never spend $60 on it. But I guarantee you there's a market for this type of game. Like, I think that
the market's a bunch of PS3 fanboys that just are, like, celebrating another exclusive for the sake of an exclusive. Like, shitty game is shitty. Like, that's
all
there is.
You're just looking
it
at the message boards. I mean, I'm talking about real people. Those people don't count. But
well, they're gamers. I mean, they're the people that they're the same. They follow that. They trend the same shit that I do.
I don't listen
anything. There's no.
I don't listen
like,
to them.
They're the
supporters.
Opinions I care about.
I don't care about the people that just spam those things and talk about, oh, PlayStation rules, Xbox sucks. It's all the same. It's all just mindless droning. I mean, there might be a few people on there that have some valid opinions and points, but they're outweighed by all the assholes that just spam the hell out of those things.
I mean,
but,
I don't know why you want to have a fucking QuickTime event-driven game. And this, I mean, the plot looks interesting, but why not just? It looks like it's 7 again. It's just like if they made 7 the video game and every 30 seconds you could, like, pick up a piece of fruit and hand it to your kid or,
well,
like, you know,
thing is,
flick a paper football or scratch your nuts or...
Again, in theory, the idea of this game is that they blur the lines between a movie and a video game.
Boring.
It's an admirable idea. Again,
why?
But
is that an admirable idea?
Why not? It's a cool... If it was actually,
you know what
more...
You know what blurred the lines correctly between a movie and a video game? Uncharted fucking 2.
Yeah, I agree with that. But it's a game that's more towards the casual gamer. Again, it's not for you. It's not for me. But there's a market for that game. For people that don't want to, that don't usually play video games, they'd probably be very interested in playing Heavy Rain. If they want to play something,
I bet it's an epic failure.
If you want to do something that's a little bit more serious and not, you know, Wii Sports. So I don't think it's not for me. I don't like it. I didn't think it was that great, and I'd never pay $60 for it. To release it at full price seems ridiculous.
It's gonna have to do. You're only going to get two audiences, and you're right. You're going to get the wacky combination of a casual gamer who wants a relatively hardcore experience as far as plot is concerned, who owns a PS3. You're going to get that guy to buy that game. My guess is that's maybe one in 40 PS3 owners, one in 50 PS3 owners that actually game on it.
I don't know. I think that. You're missing a market that they're trying to get. That's all.
The
PS3 isn't.
That's
the
other thing.
PS3 isn't as exclusive. Like, owning a PS3 isn't what's the word to use? It's not that special to have a PS3 anymore. A lot more people have it. Their numbers are actually getting pretty good as far as sales.
Oh, their numbers are great.
So,
but like,
All I'm saying
but
is
casual,
they throw...
casuals don't play $60.
You throw, well, they have to at this point because everything's $60. That's
and
all I'm saying.
Do they have a download like Xbox Live? Can you download small games from them?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, you can get almost every game you can get on Xbox Live.
But I'm saying
PSN.
All I'm saying, Gogs, is that you throw that shit against the wall and see what sticks. You know, I mean they're trying something else. They keep talking about they're going to put out that stupid motion controller, like a true motion controller, which I'm not real fond of, but I mean,
like
that's
Project Natal. I don't give a shit about Project Natal.
Yeah,
it's
I don't
like,
either. Well, do you see the PlayStation doing like 1-2 where it's like two sticks? It's like
a wand and a camera and
yeah,
yeah
but it's supposed to be it's supposed to be like ridiculous as far as its like detection, but I could care less. I hate
well,
that
at least
whole...
it's got to step up on Natal because it'll have some sort of force feedback.
Well,
like
Natal
maybe
just
will rumble
a
or
camera,
something.
Isn't it? Like it's essentially just
yeah.
a camera. Yeah.
If you want to play a karate game on Project Natal, you need to know how to fucking do karate. Like Jesus Christ, why don't I just go out and kick random people's asses?
But
here's the thing: innovation for the sake of innovation is. It's like you know what? We can start making dirt sandwiches. They'll be cheap and probably healthy. Yeah, but I don't want to fucking eat them, so don't make one.
Well,
and rant.
But I don't know. I think that the idea behind it is just poor execution. I don't know. Again, it's not for the kind of people like we are. I think that that's what they were doing. But whatever.
It's too fucking artsy-fartsy, look at me, clever for the sake of being clever bullshit. It's not fun. It's not funny. Not enjoyable. I trudged through that fucking demo. And that demo was essentially the most linear thing I think I've ever played in my entire life. Like right. It might as well have been on rails.
Well,
like
it's like a movie, so it's gonna be. I mean, in a way.
Well, I mean, why do they even need to have the walking around controls? They might as well just go from scene to scene and just let me interact.
The walking around
little...
part is baffling. How it's that difficult to walk around? But let's move on. We have talked way too much about this stupid game. Now you sent me a video from Game Trailers, that talked about, and that's again, yet another free plug for, GameTrailers.com. We
love
about,
Game Trailers.
Yeah, we love Game Trailers. We get, Gogs and I both get all our video game news from Game Trailers. I pretty much follow their reviews. They're pretty much the reason why I didn't buy Dante's Inferno because they hated it. So, Gog sent me a video dealing with what's the name of their show that they do on their Gog? It's called Bonus Round.
It's actually really good. I love
that
show.
It's a good show. They actually, I don't know if they, I'm sure they do, if they archive that stuff. But they did.
They do.
They did one when Metal Gear 4 came out that had David Hayter on that does Snake's voice, and it was actually really interesting.
They get some good industry people.
Yeah, it's a good. I've said this many, many, many times, and I'll say it many more. But I really wish that Game Trailers would take over G4 TV because it would be so much better content-wise. But what are you going to do?
That would be fucking stupendous.
The video that Gog sent me is dealing with microtransactions and how they're affecting the video game industry and how they're going to affect the video game industry and the media in general in the future. And... Gogs, you like to regale everybody as to what exactly a microtransaction is, what they were transaction is, and what they were talking about. Because I think it's rather interesting.
Well, the idea behind it is to, the negative gamer's perspective
well, just,
is
just go
to
in
milk
general.
More money.
Explain what it is without the editorial. So
the idea being, for those of you who are familiar with the game World of Warcraft, it's a good example of it. Anything where there is. Basically, the idea is to get to generate further revenue after the initial purchase of a game. The thought being that once someone pays for a title, they can play it forever, and that's the last money you could potentially ever see out of the person. Now, by adding a subscription service or making it pay by the amount of time you play or pay for premium content or pay for additional skins or models or modes or whatever else, they're basically trying to develop. They're trying to develop a sustainable economy behind a game. So,
like Dave and Buster's.
They're trying to make, like Dave and Buster's. Like they say the card, but then you got to recharge it. But like they're trying to, like basically, and here's what happens. Activision, who also owns Blizzard, everyone has seen the juggernaut of revenue that World of Warcraft generates. You've got a game with and Razor Balls can help back these numbers up.
I think he got disconnected from the chat, or he got disconnected off the. He's in the chat, but his phone, he hung up, so maybe he was calling on his cell phone, so maybe something happened with his cell connection. But anyway.
Well, I think I think it's somewhere along the lines of 11 million users.
It's a lot,
and they're all paying. When I used to play, I had a month to month membership, and it was $14 a month, and then there was, there's people that pay less, but still, you're looking at maybe at a minimum $8 a month if you buy like a whole year up front.
Oh yeah,
11. So you're looking at 11 million people times 8, so $88 million a month. Yeah, okay, 12 million.
Right.
So like 12 million times 8, that many dollars a month just coming in as revenue just to play the game, just to keep the servers up. To support additional content and to make new shit. Now,
and I guarantee the upkeep and the overhead is probably very low because all that went into development charges when you made the game to begin with, probably.
Well, there is a lot. There are a lot. There's an alarming with 12 million people. They do have a lot of tech support people. 12 million people. There are a lot of servers to keep up. There's lots of servers, and they are really good about just giving. I want to say giving out content for free, but they're obviously not giving it for free because you're paying to use it. But they do feed the community with a regular – every week there's maintenance that's bug fixes, new additional stuff, new dungeons, new areas, like new content that isn't expansion packs explicitly.
Right.
So they are really good about maintaining this game, and this game has been going on since 2004?
Something like that.
So, basically everyone sees this model, and they've never seen a game do this before. You've got people that paid $50 to buy the game at first, and now since then the price has gone down significantly. But first round of the game, people were paying $50 for the box, and then on top of that, $14 a month, and giving their money away. And now you've got Activision, who owns Blizzard, and they also own the Call of Duty game, which is the biggest selling day one game of all time. And they're thinking to themselves, well, look, we have this online base that we're not getting any further money out of. You've got 5 million users online every day playing our game.
Yeah.
And we're not getting anything else out of this unless we sell them a map pack or something down the line. So they're thinking about trying to use that same model for that game. And it feels like such a betrayal because I get it. It's a business. You need to make money. The whole point's to make money. The whole point in doing anything in life is to make money. At least that's what businesses are supposed to do. They have investors to answer to and whatever else. But it just feels like such a betrayal to think that these games that I love, that I paid my hard-earned money and supported, are going to come back and rear-end me again by saying, well, now, if you really want to experience it, it's going to cost a little more.
See, and I think – go ahead. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to
– No, that's it. I'm good.
I think if they do that, like with something like Call of Duty specifically, it's going to kill it. It's going to kill the video game community. People are going to drop left and right. And you know what? For all the Call of Duty things that they charge, somebody's going to make another first-person shooter and not charge anything for it, and everybody's going to go
I'll
for
play
that.
MAG.
If I'm they, telling the, you, people...
The day they announce it, I will start playing MAG. I'll play Battlefield 2.
People... The thing is, too, you're going to talk about like Xbox, so... I already think it's bullshit you pay for Xbox Live because they advertise on Xbox Live. That really fucking bothers me.
I pay for Xbox Live. I pay for a gold membership, which means I can play against people. I could have Xbox Live Silver, which doesn't cost anything.
Yeah, but then you
still
can't
get access
do anything.
To demos and stuff, but I can't play online.
Online. Now,
and I already paid $7 a month for
that. Imagine if Activision gets that shit up to they do what they want. So you're going to have to pay for Xbox Live. Then you're going to have to play... for Call of Duty, and the guy on the show, and again, I think everybody should go watch this. It's called Bonus Room. It's on Game Trailers. I was debating on actually playing some of the clip, but it's really long, and I didn't know what part to edit out or whatever. So, everybody should check it out. But it's an interesting argument. But I honestly think that if they did something like this, it would just kill the gaming community. People, or at least people would find other games to play for free. Because I'm not paying, I wouldn't pay to play Call of Duty Online. And they're talking about charging by the hour. Like, there's no fucking way. I mean,
yeah, or by the minute or whatever else.
I had a roommate that played Call of Duty 44 hours a week. I mean, he's not going to play 44 hours a week if he's being charged to do it. There's no fucking way. Yeah. And I guarantee that all those maniacs that you saw this third day of Call of Duty being out and they were already on their prestige, that shit's done. I'm telling you that people aren't going to pay for this. Now, you know, well, you bring up something like WoW, and I understand WoW, but WoW started out as a pay service. To have it for free for so long and then go, you've got
to
pay for it, no fucking way. I mean, now, this has already started to trickle into the market a little bit with EA. I don't know, I know, guys, you don't play a lot of sports games, but, like, in Madden now, there's, like, a whole, like, subdivision of Madden, like, upgrades that you can purchase. Like, you can buy, like, it's, like, boosts in the game. That, see, that doesn't seem that bad to me. Like, it's stupid, but that almost makes sense.
Does it give you an
sense.
Advantage?
Well, in the, yeah, but not in the multiplayer, but in the single-player game, yeah. But,
oh,
like,
well, that doesn't make a difference to me.
See, that to me are just selling content. Like, the EA does this a lot. Like, I just went on PSN tonight, and, like, they have a Dante's Inferno thing where you can, like, purchase, I guess in the game, like, the currency of the game is souls or whatever. Well, you can purchase, like, 50,000 souls for, like, $3. See,
that's like a gold farmer in WoW. It's just,
see,
you know,
that,
someone else did the work
that
and
to
you're
me,
trading real money for it.
That, to me, seems a little bit more logical than them charging for you to play the game online. But at the same time, it's also something that not many people are going to do. Like, nobody, like, who the hell is going to spend money on these upgrades to Madden? Not many people, but everyone's going to play
well,
it online.
I have no problem with downloadable content, and that's an option
now,
to
I love
buy, download. Sort of thing.
Downloadable content is one of the best things that's happened in this generation. Like, I love
it. Yeah, and it's so, like, I don't know if it makes me hypocritical or not. Like, I have no problem with that because it's like, look, they developed this extra content. I'm essentially buying more game. Great,
no, that's
fine.
I don't feel now, that. How is that's not hypocritical at all? Like, you're getting,
well,
you're actually getting something. The proposed idea that you're going to get charged while you play, you're getting the same product you got before. You're not getting anything extra. You're getting the same fucking product,
right,
and they're just charging for it now. You're getting taken
and now,
away.
And they're also talking about some of these ideas being, like, much like that, the thing for the football game, I guess, like, you get, like, say you're playing Call of Duty, and you want to, you don't have enough time to grind out all the levels or whatever else, so you pay another $10-$20, and they automatically make you, like, the level 60 character or something.
Right.
I mean, I guess it really doesn't affect me, except that now I got to play against some douchebag who didn't even earn this shit. I guess it kind of makes me resentful. And it just kind of cheapens it for me.
Yeah,
like,
it does.
Like,
no,
I, like, I mean, there's not, I mean, gamers
that.
Shouldn't, I mean, for what it's worth, I have some pride as a gamer. Like, I think I'm not bad at video games, and there's clearly tons of people that are better than me, and you, when you go online, you play these games, you kind of defend your honor, so to speak, over the chatter of 8-year-olds calling you an N-word or a Jew or something, but you get the idea. There's still competition. And if you're paying, I guess it's the same reason I don't like the fact that there's no salary cap in baseball. You can just buy your way to the best team, and there's no problem.
Right.
If you can just buy yourself all these fun upgrades and shit, especially if you give people exclusive stuff that you have to pay for, that's just completely burns me. Like, but that's besides like skins or whatever else. But
right.
If you let some just fucking newbie come in and pay to get a level 60 character, and now they're just running amok with their only advantage is the fact that they got better gear that they didn't even work for. They just spent $20. It's like, well, fuck you then. I don't even bother. I don't even want to try it because I'll just get lumped in with all the other guys. People be like, oh, well, you just bought your character.
Well, I mean, it's no different, in my opinion, than, I mean, I'm gonna really fucking date myself. But I remember way back in the day, I played this computer game. It was an online first-person and third-person, I think, shooter called Star Siege Tribes. It was actually a lot of fun until everyone just rampantly started modding all the servers, and everybody cheated. And it drove away the people that really wanted to play the game. You know what I mean? And that's essentially what's going to happen with Call of Duty, because you're going to have the same thing. You're going to have all these people that buy, like, every perk and every, you know what I mean, and they didn't earn it, and just everyone's going to be, like, souped up, and there's not going to be any kind of challenge or fun to it anymore.
Anyone who wants to just play it straight is going to be already put at a further disadvantage.
Yep, I agree.
It almost forces them to, you got to keep up with the Joneses. Like, now you've got to buy the shit, otherwise it's an arms race, and you're going to lose just because you don't want to spend any more of your own money.
Yeah.
And
I,
this guy, this, oh, go ahead.
The guy that was talking on Bonus Round, and Goggs, you said he used to,
Jason Rubin.
He used to be the president of Naughty Dog, the game studio that went on to develop.
I think he's one of the. I think he founded it.
Wow.
Like,
well,
one of the founding members.
That company went on to make one of the best games ever, Uncharted 2, and they also made the Crash Bandicoot series and some other games.
He was around for Crash Bandicoot. He wasn't there for Uncharted.
Wow. So he sucks. But he, in his argument, he keeps saying that his reference that he keeps using that says that this model will work is, I guess, that stupid Facebook game, Farmville, which I never played. He says that, I guess, Farmville, you sign up for free, but to get, like, the good shit, you have to pay for it. And he said that, like, gamers have no problem, you know, paying for that. Well, what works on some dumb Facebook application isn't going to work with real gamers. I mean, you're talking about...
Yeah, it's a flash game.
And, you know, I don't see the connection, and the fact that it kind of made me mad watching the video, because he kept going back to it, and it's just like, you cannot compare, you know, Farmville to Call of Duty, or to, you know, like a game like God of War, or, you know,
he's trying to make an argument. He's trying to make this argument like Farmville, and he couldn't even get the name right. He kept calling it Farm Town. Oh, and by the way, I forgot to mention in my hate segment, if you're on Facebook and you play Mafia Wars or Farmville, do not fucking announce every time you find a brown egg or you got beat up and you need help. I don't give a fucking shit. Turn those goddamn alerts off and fuck you.
Yeah, that is annoying shit. Yeah.
I had a moment. Okay, so he was saying that you got this game Farmville and you can play for free forever and just enjoy yourself. But if you want to, like you were saying, upgrade your experience.
Right.
And, you know, you can pay money and do so. And he's talking about making AAA titles like an Uncharted 2 or a God of War. And he's saying that what you would do is you would essentially give the game away for free and let people play the game for free. And then if they wanted to make the experience better, then they could start paying these small fees or whatever else.
But see,
I can think is,
how is that
going to
work?
Development house ever want to take – it costs millions – these have, like, movie budgets now. Video games are costing $50 million, $60 million to make. Why would anyone want to take the risk of making a game? I mean, it's already enough risk to make a game, put it on the shelves, and hope it sells.
Well,
make a game and give it away for free.
Yeah,
and
his
then,
idea is basically to make a good enough demo that people are going to want to buy the game. I mean, that's what it sounds like to me. It's crazy. It's not going to work, and all it's going to do is exactly what you said. People are going to make cheap games and stupid, like, flash games like Farmville, which I'm sure cost nothing to make or very little. I mean, it doesn't compare.
And then, you know, this jerk off has started a whole other studio called Monkey Gods or something, and this guy used to be in a real game studio at Naughty Dog, and now he makes phone games and, like, flash games. Like, that's what he does. They don't make real titles. Here's their big thing. They reinvented Snood for, like,
Snood?
The iPhone. Oh, Snood's that game where it's like Bubble Bobble or whatever, where you shoot the little multicolored balls at the other balls.
Their claim to fame is that they ripped off Bubble Bobble.
Well, no. Their claim to fame is that they remastered Snood. Snood existed before. They just updated it for the new age. So, I mean, they're not even producing any titles that matter. Like, this guy shouldn't even be at the table. And if you watch, here's the good thing. And, like, you're right. They do archive all those Bonus Round shows. You can go back to he was on the very first episode, him and that Michael Pachter guy, and it's hilarious. This guy actually said, Jason Rubin, actually said on the very first episode of Bonus Round, which is back in 2006, right before the PS3 launch, he said, I don't think Blu-ray is going to be that compelling. He's like, I don't see it being the next big thing. Like, that was literally the words out of his mouth.
Well, a lot of people said that, not to defend the douchebag, but a lot of people said it was going to fail.
But as a game developer, you think that they would have
you
the
think
most...
You would, yeah. Well, that's true. That's a good point. I mean, you think that from a software development point of view, you'd want nothing but
that's
Blu-ray
not just
to do
Joe
well.
Blow. That's not just Joe Blow, I don't want my new laser disc. It's not
right.
It's not that guy. This is the guy who should be in the know and see that the potential of this medium.
Yeah.
And then sitting right next to him is a guy who worked at Infinity Ward on Call of Duty like 2 or 3, whatever it launched with Xbox 360. And he probably still has a job because they're still cranking out fucking badass games.
Yeah. I don't know, man. Like, I think that the industry is changing like it always is. But, I mean, not to beat a dead horse, but I think if they actually went by a pay-to-play module, I think that you would see video games drop. Like, I think people would just...
I would stop playing, and that would kill me.
I mean, I know that... I mean, just myself as an example, and I can't really speak for anybody but myself, but the reason... One of the big reasons I don't have an Xbox anymore is because I refuse to pay for Xbox Live. Like, I think it's a jip. I think it's a complete ripoff. Like, it'd be one thing if it was, like...
And I'm dumb enough to pay for that.
Like, if Xbox Live was just Xbox Live the same way you know it now, with no advertisements, okay, then you can charge me. But they get ad revenue from that shit. Should be free. It's like old Battle.net. Like, that, like, Blizzard's old Battle.net. Like, they explicitly said, it's free because we advertise on it. That's the way it should be. And, you know...
Well, like, Steam
know,
is free.
Me.
Like, I think Steam and Valve, they do a great job. I mean, you got to buy games from them, but they all their servers or all their server connection stuff, that's all free. It's going
to
gut the video game industry. I'll just play old games.
I just have to take a minute and say that, you know, the people that have their alerts on their Facebook about their crap that they do in their stupid Flash games, the people that do that with their PlayStation 3s are actually much cooler. Because I know people that did that. Not that it was me. but, yeah, I think I have a alert
why would
set
you
up.
Do?
With, I think I have it set up. I think because one day it said to connect my PlayStation with Facebook, and I was like, okay, why not? And I think, like, anytime I buy something from the PlayStation store, it posts an alert on my Facebook page. I think it does. I don't know.
It doesn't do it anymore.
Oh, did it, well, anyway.
It might have done it like once. It's like you got a new trophy. It's like, I don't give a shit.
Yeah. But anything else, Gogs, that you want to talk about? I know you sent me another interesting video that I guess we could talk about. No rapid fire comic reviews this week, guys, because I only bought like 3 comics.
I'm gonna give everyone in the chat a treat though. I'm just gonna throw some because some people might not be into video games. I found some big titted MILF porn, so I'm just gonna throw that in there and let's keep talking. There we go.
Nice.
enjoy yourself.
Big jug MILF gets pounded by younger guys. Right to the point.
.com. Yeah.
Mass Effect 2. Prozac wants to know about Mass Effect 2. I don't have it. I'm gonna buy it for PC. I meant to tell you guys. I bought a new computer. For Mr. Razorballs actually, who's no longer on the line. But it's fucking awesome. So now I actually have the power to run Mass Effect 2, and I'm going to buy it as soon as I get some money. But and Gogs hasn't played it either because he's still on his video game diet.
Going to buy it instantly as soon as I'm done. It's going to be, thankfully I'm going to be able to get. I'm going to borrow Bioshock 2 from Topo, and that won't be me breaking the diet because I won't be purchasing any new software.
I guess
but
I should. I could talk about that real quick. In the last show, I believe that we were getting hyped up about Bioshock 2. I had already bought it. It came out last Tuesday.
I had already bought it,
and I was a couple hours into it. Well, I'm glad to say that I've actually beaten the game, and I absolutely loved it. If you're a fan of Bioshock, if you liked the first game, you're going to like the second game. It's awesome. It's got everything that the first game had and more. You know, the storyline's fantastic, the atmosphere's fantastic, the plasmids are cool, the added element of having to guard the little sisters while they harvest, and for anybody worried about that, I actually talked to somebody today about this. There's a mission in the end of the original BioShock where you had to guard the little sister as she was harvesting, and it took forever. It's set up entirely different in BioShock 2, and it's not nearly as bad. It's challenging, but it's not annoying or tedious. And really, if you wanted to, protecting the little sister as they gather Adam is actually an optional thing to do. Now, if you want to get everything and complete the game, you know, the proper way, like me, I got all the power to the people stations, rescued every little sister, and defeated every big sister. So
look at you.
I did a good job. I got the good
ending.
You did a good job. You don't want a pizza when you're supposed to French fry. But I gotta say, a lot of anybody that has negative things to say about BioShock 2, I gotta say, maybe you didn't like the first game because it's great. Like I really just got sucked into it, like I did with BioShock 1. I love the plot, and I had to see it through. It kind of felt like a good book or a movie. Like I was really compelled to finish the game, and I think that's how I felt about
the first one.
Yeah, that's exactly how I felt. It's a trademark of anything that's good. I mean, I felt the same way about Uncharted 2. Like, I beat that really fast because I literally couldn't put it down.
I bet you did. those all worked. That's how I felt about Gears of War, both the Gears of War games and both the Uncharted games. I just couldn't stop playing them.
Yeah,
I needed to see what was going to happen next. That's a real hallmark of a good game.
Yeah, and I can't say enough good things about BioShock 2. I mean, I guess I could almost say that it's too short, but at the same time, I tried to get through it as fast as possible and still managed to get everything. I want to go back and go through and do the evil ending, but honestly, and I told Gogs this, and you can laugh all you want, because I admit it is funny. If you're familiar with BioShock, there's an element of the game where there's these little girls called Little Sisters, and they're these weird, I don't know, how would you describe them, guys? They look almost like little zombie girl children.
They're like very doll-like 50s-style girls that are like these little kind of brain-dead zombie.
But they're like, innocent, and in this game it's even worse because
creepy.
Grab one, they actually smile at you, and you put them up on your back. Well, there comes a point where you can either choose to
Hedo
essentially
approves.
You can either it comes a point where you can either basically kill them or rescue them. And when you rescue them, you kind of give them the shebang, and they turn back into regular little girls. I can't for the life of me kill them. They're like, it's too horrible.
I couldn't do it in the first game.
Huh?
I could never bring myself to do it in the first game.
Up till now, I still haven't. I never did it in the first game, and I haven't done it in this one. I just can't do it. Like, it seems so horrible. I know it's silly. I mean, I know they're just polygons on a screen or whatever, but I just don't have the heart to kill the little sisters. Fortunately, you don't have to. But so, I don't know if I'm ever going to get the bad ending. I think that there's four endings in this somehow. Give anything away, there
Please
is, well, I'm not giving anything away, but I will say that there's something new that's present in, this game that wasn't present in the first game. There is a series of moral choices beyond rescuing or harvesting the little sisters. There's several characters in the game where you get the choice whether they live or die. And it affects the end of the game. Now, I don't know if it's like an all or nothing. Like, if you're, because there's definitely certain characters that kind of deserve it, and there's certain that don't. I went the clean route and didn't kill any of them just to see what would happen. So I got the good ending for sure. But I wonder if there's a level, like certain ones that you kill and can't kill, stuff like that. I do know in certain instances when you let the characters live, they actually help you out later in the game, so I assume that that's not there. But I gotta say, A-plus title, BioShock 2. Do yourself a favor, pick it up. Just really good all the way around. Graphics, sound design, story, character design, the gun models, everything's cool. I loved it, and it was like going back into a world that I wanted to be in because I loved the first game so much. This just kind of captured everything that I liked about the first game and just hammered it home more. I actually would, I really hope there's rumors about it now that they're going to do a add-on, so with some more levels, like, but they probably won't be story levels. They'll probably be challenge levels, but either way, I'll bring it on. I will check it out, and I will probably buy it. But anything else, guys, you want to talk about? It's coming up on 10:30.
You want to just do a quick rundown of great game trailers, top 10 games of the decade, and just give our quick, insights?
I think that was a good video. That was another video that GOG sent me from GameTrailers.com. We're a little late on it.
I don't do a lot of work.
No, you really don't. I know we're a little late, but Game Trailers posted their top 10 games of the decade. I assume they did it before the new year. But
just recently released.
Oh,
this.
That's a new one? Well, anyway.
Yeah.
It's still a very interesting list, and I think it's... I would say that it's got a bunch that you wouldn't expect to see on a top 10 list.
Because I think we ran down our top 10 games of the decade.
We did.
Not
yes, we did. We
and
did
some
that.
Some of them made it, some of them didn't.
Yeah. But anyhow, Goggs, go ahead and go through that list.
Sure. All right. According to the good people at Game Trailers, number 10, top 10 games of the decade, was Twilight Princess, brought to you by the Wii and Nintendo.
It was also on GameCube.
It was on GameCube. I think it was, so the port, I guess, was a launch title.
Yeah.
Maybe, did it launch simultaneously, actually? On GameCube and on the Wii? They were still making GameCube games then.
I'm fairly sure that it did.
I had it when I had my Wii, and... Yeah. I didn't get into it, but I mean, and I love Zelda titles. I just didn't have them the fair.
I didn't like it either.
I don't know.
It's too
it
slow.
I don't know why.
It took forever
to get
into.
Yeah,
I loved
Ocarina
of
Time,
opinion.
Though. So
I,
this is not me sliding on Zelda games. I love Zelda games, but that one just didn't do
it.
Yeah,
I got hated on pretty hard for not liking Twilight Princess, but I guess it just wasn't for me.
Well, it's because you're a bad person.
Yeah, well, that's fine. I agree with that.
Number 9. A Mario Galaxy, a game I never played, but I've heard nothing but rave reviews because people love the way it controlled and they love the innovation of it.
Yeah, I never played it either.
I hear nothing but good things. Yeah, everybody loves the gravity stuff and all the crazy shit that they would.
It looked
all the
like
crazy
that game
that
Knights
the level.
On Saturn. Anybody remember that?
I remember that game. I never played it, but I remember
it looked exactly like that game. Like it was this weird, like platforming game where you had these like flying mechanics and everything was like 3D. Kind of reminded me of that.
You remember Descent?
Yes, Descent was like it was almost like a first person like shooter game, but you were like in this 360 degree like ship or something that was like underground. I do remember.
Yeah. And you it was like so disorienting. That was like the first game was ever like that. But anyways, fun time. Number 8.
Hold on, Goggs.
Oh,
I have breaking news that I have to stop you very briefly. It's a little late to the show, but I got to introduce a guy who likes the posterior. He likes the ass.
I'm a nice man.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I'm an ass man.
I like to think that I'm a Twilight Princess.
I would definitely. That's I describe
yeah.
you to people that ask me about you. As a matter of fact,
the picture I drew of you that I keep under my pillow definitely has Twilight Princess-esque element.
Well, Jude, it is great to have you on the show. Like my mom used to always tell me, better to come late than never at all. What?
That's what she said.
Sage advice.
Nice.
That's
yeah.
That's what she told me too.
And I. I also want to introduce real quick, everybody's calling in at the tail end of the show, But our own graphic artist, Mr. Tim Pro, is on the line. Tim, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, Tim.
Hey, how you doing?
Dude, you're doing some great work, got to say.
You're amazing.
Bang-up job. I expect you to do a picture of the, what was the name of the fat guy? William Farbury. I think that's your next project. You have to do
eating ribs.
Yeah. But
and breathing heavy.
Yeah, and farting or something. It sounded like it. But it's good to have you guys here. Tim, you're doing an excellent job. Keep it up. It's fantastic. So how's everybody doing tonight? Jude, congratulations. We haven't done it officially on the show, but congratulations on the addition of Mr. Hawkeye Topo Terror, your newest son. Yeah, Improvement Tiger likes your newborn son. Sounded
he stole the afterbirth.
I wanted to go with El Topo Gog's Terror, but Amy wasn't feeling it. So Holden Hawkeye is what we went with.
Holden Hawkeye, I love it. That's great.
That's honestly his real name?
Yes. Well, not Terror, but, you know, that's my
no,
punk rock
Holden
name.
Hawkeye? That
Holden
is
Hawkeye,
fucking,
yes.
That is
God
the greatest
damn
name.
It, that's awesome.
That really is awesome.
Pretty awesome.
That is kid's going to be a badass. That kid's going to grow
Holden
up and punch people in
the at
face.
The party?
Yeah,
is Holden McNeil here?
Holden McNeil at the party.
I originally thought Hawkeye came from Hawkeye from MASH. But
really?
If you're talking about Hawkeye from the Avengers, then
yeah, it is definitely
like it
the Avengers.
Hawkeye Pierce.
Hawkeye
I'm
Pierce
old, but I'm not
badass.
That old.
Well, yeah, I watched the reruns though.
There you go.
I love me some Hawkeye.
I would have gone with BJ.
There
Hawkeye BJ. If that were the case.
But anyway, it's great to have you guys here, Jude. We missed you last week. You were busy last week tending to your children, I believe. But it's good to have you back.
All is well. Mrs. Terror is recovering nicely,
yes.
And the baby's good. I'm taking
sweet.
It.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
sweet.
Rock and roll, dude. Congratulations, man.
Well,
thank you, sir.
We are hot and heavy in our video game section of the show.
A video game session?
Yeah, something like that.
You're talking
video
about
game.
Video games?
Gogs is video
we
games.
We have to be right now.
But let's talk about some video games. Gogs, what video games did you like to talk about? This is your segment. We need to come up with a good segment name for the video game segment for the Gogs.
Level up with Gogs. Get turned on with Gogs.
Diddle my sticks. I like that. Send shivers to your D-pad.
No. I'll come up with something. All right. Jude, make a bumper.
The fact that it ends with Jude, make a bumper, and then goes right into it. I love that. That is so fucking great.
That is fantastic.
Oh, God. Jesus Christ. All right, well, back to the boring part.
Mm.
Yeah, now the show's no fun. After those bumpers, I don't like the bumpers because you expect like really good stuff after it. Like it's such high quality, it sets the watermark too
not
high.
Not just awkward silence. It's just like
that
what
reminds
depression
me of my
sound
sex
like?
Life.
I like
ribs.
I like Prozac in the chat. Dogs has a good name for the segment. It's called Gog's Yanking the Joystick. I like that.
Also,
that's good.
I also like the nouveau spelling of my name with one G.
I like Gog's.
It's efficient. It still says the same thing, so I like
it. If Germans wrote your name. Yeah. But were we, Gog's? I think we're on number eight of GT's games of
top
the decade.
Top 10 of the decade.
Mm-hmm.
This little number, Devil May Cry. A game that kind of trailed off on the back nine. The Devil May Cry 3
Devil May Cry
is still
was
one
terrible.
Of the best games ever, as far as like an action game goes.
Well, Devil May Cry 1 was really good, and it was really innovative. I mean, people still... It kind of started, I mean, really, indirectly. If
God
there
of
wasn't
War.
A, I was going to say,
Ninja
yeah, if there, wasn't, if there wasn't a Devil May Cry, you wouldn't have God of War and Ninja Gaiden. So... It was pretty cool that they ramped it up. You know, I was when I saw that they picked Devil May Cry, I was kind of thinking of another game that I think paved the way for Devil May Cry, and that would be Onimusha, because it all kind of started from Resident Evil, and apparently, if you read, I remember way back when, Onimusha started as a glitch in Resident Evil, where like they found out how you could do this like really quick combat. So then they made Onimusha, and then Onimusha, they were like, well, this is fun, but it's still too rigid. It's still too much like Resident Evil, because I don't know if you ever played the Onimusha games, but they were a little bit more. What's that?
What was the Japanese game where you're like flying around kicking like demon souls and shit in the head?
That
and it was like.
Wasn't that Onimusha? You fought demons in Onimusha.
Was that it? And you're always like flying around. It's like insanity.
I don't think you were flying so much, but. No, you were like a samurai and you fought like evil spirits instead of. Like they were kind of like zombies. It was like in feudal Japan, and then the last one was in like modern day with Jean Reno of all people. But anyway, that game Onimusha became that became Devil May Cry and made it faster and less like Resident Evil. But yeah, I really liked Devil May Cry. I was really disappointed with Devil May Cry 4. I really thought that it was kind of lame. But I guess the spiritual sequel to Devil May Cry was Bayonetta, which you and everybody else I've talked to has had glowing reviews about. So
the fucking gameplay is just delightful. The goddamn story is insane, but the gameplay is just tasty.
I think that Devil May Cry is an interesting pick for the top 10 of the decade, but I definitely think it's justified.
Well, the rationale. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry. I keep cutting you off.
No, you're right. You're right. You're about to say the same thing I was. So, go ahead.
GT's whole rationale about it being, you know, they picked games that really kind of set the tone and opened up new doors for other people. Basically, all of these games are basically become imitated. Like, these are like the most imitated games. Yeah.
Excuse me. I agree with that.
Nice.
The next game.
If I
could comment on that.
Sure.
The problem
ahead,
that I always found with Devil May Cry was that the main character just seemed like a pompous douchebag. Did you get that feeling?
Oh,
Dante.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you
Dante,
ever play the
third like
one?
A prick.
The third one,
no.
He like played guitar and he like slid around on the
that
guitar
was
and did like solos. It was insane.
Oh my god! When you got the guitar weapons, you could just like do all sorts of crazy. You like hit someone in the chest. It was like a warlock or something. You like hit someone in the chest with it. And you pop them into the sky, and then you like power slide through them, and then like widdly wee, and then like lightning comes down, and like Jesus like slaps someone on the ass. And there's, like, pyrotechnics and fuck. It's great. And someone gets rained on with cocaine. That game is nuts as shit. And the shame was that fucking Devil
some
May
child prostitutes, and that was, like, Richard and the Sax Last Vacation in Thailand.
Yeah. It was, like, the Three Dog Night 86 tour, just as a video game. But
where his dick exploded.
Where his dick exploded from too much sex.
That's the most ridiculous thing.
He had a blowout, like, with C.F. Goodrich Firestone tires.
I heard that's why Clinton was in the hospital last week.
Did
you guys hear about that? That's what I heard.
Matt Dick exploded. Oh boy. Number seven.
Number seven, a game that both of you and I respect quite a bit.
Shadow
of the Colossus.
One of my favorite games ever. I thought this
sleeper,
game was
sleeper hit.
You know what though? And maybe I might be out of time. Like, I'm saying that it might not fall in the decade. But if I was going to pick I would have picked Ico over Shadow of the Colossus. Because it
when did
it
Ico
was
come out?
See, I'm not sure about that. But
let's see what
Shadow of the Colossus was great. And it was so different than anything I'd ever played at that point. And the monsters looked amazing. It's one of the. I would definitely recommend it for someone that even hasn't played it now to go back and play it. The game still holds up. It's amazing.
It's,
I still own it.
Ico came out in 2001.
Yeah. So I would have picked Ico. I don't know. For those of you that are not familiar, the developer that made Shadow of the Colossus also made Ico. And the thing that kind of, I guess, the main theme that kind of goes through both of these games is that it's kind of like an exercise in minimalism. No dialogue, pretty much no real, like, narration as far as what you're used to in a regular video game. No heads-up display, no life bars, nothing like that. Just kind of puzzle elements, and really interesting, like, artwork and stuff like that. It's, or not artwork, but, like, the style designs were pretty interesting and really, really, really innovative game. And the same developer is making a PlayStation 3 game that's supposed to be
that
out.
Looks
I don't
so
know
fucking,
when.
I'm,
but it's
like,
about a
hyped for that.
But what's kind of interesting, if you've ever played Ico and then Shadow of the Colossus, there's subtle hints that Ico is actually the sequel, the true sequel to Shadow of the Colossus, and that Shadow of the Colossus is a prequel to that game. But it's weird, and I don't know. I highly recommend it. Shadow of the Colossus was something that I couldn't... It was a lot like what I just said about Bioshock. It was something that I couldn't stop playing, and it actually made me think. Its puzzles aren't like, you know, find the box, put the box here. It was stuff that was interesting and like I'd never had to deal with before. And the whole concept of the game is you as this little tiny guy that has to fight these monsters that are like 50 stories tall, and some of them fly, and some of them like spit and do all kinds of wacky nonsense. It was incredible,
but the gameplay was great. And that's what... Take yeah. notes, people who made fucking Heavy Rain, Quantric Dream, or whatever. That's how you make a fucking innovative game that's beautiful, artistic, and interesting, and it's actually a goddamn game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But yeah, Ico came out in 2001 there, buddy, so I don't know why it didn't make the list.
Well, I mean, I guess you could make the argument. I mean, I think they're both very, very, very good games, but I guess...
Nominating
you could
one's like nominating the other.
You could definitely... You can't really say Ico without Shadow of the Colossus and vice versa. I mean, I feel like they're one and the same.
I can't believe Blood Rain didn't make it.
You know, it would be nice though whenever that game comes out, the same developers put that PlayStation 3 game out. If they kind of did what they did with God of War and they put out like an HD version of Ico and Shadow of the Colossus on PlayStation, I would probably buy that. And I bet I'd be willing to bet that the graphics for Shadow of the Colossus would still hold up, because they looked really good on PlayStation 2. Like, they looked way better than they should have back then. I remember being very impressed by the visuals. But again, it's an exercise in minimalism. It's not really flashy. It's just really, really good.
It's really kind of engaging. And it's like looming kind of just sullenness.
Yeah, I agree with their pick of Shadow of the Colossus. I applaud them for it, because that game doesn't really get talked about as much as it should.
I would put it higher, honestly.
The soundtrack was pretty good, too.
The soundtrack was good. Yeah, I agree with that. The soundtrack was incredible. Same with Ico, even though it barely had one. But it was good. I totally agree. 10 plus all the way around. Yeah. Great game. Mm. But the next game.
Mm.
Mm.
Next up... Half-Life 2, and I'd like to think by kind of parallel nomination, this includes Portal, but Half-Life 2, which will be starring Mr. Morgan Freeman when it comes out to theaters later
yeah,
this fall.
Yeah, as we found out tonight on the radio show. I'm going to profess my ignorance and say that I've only played about 2 hours of Half-Life 2 in my entire life. I own it on PlayStation 3, but I haven't really sat down and played it all that much. I played and beat the first one, and I loved it. And I'm sure I'd like the second one. It's just one of those things I haven't really played a whole lot. I played a lot of Portal, and I played a couple of minutes of Team Fortress 2. But, Gogs, did you play through Half-Life at all?
I played through... Did I beat it? I can't remember if I beat it or not, honestly. I think I got a good couple hours into it, and then... I think I got most of the way through it, and then I diddled around with one of the other episodes. It's probably one of those games I need to go back through and play again or beat.
Well, it's not
but
done
I love...
yet either. They
no,
have another...
that's the other thing.
Yeah, episode 3 is supposed to come out soon, I think.
Yeah, but it's from a first-person shooter gameplay standpoint, it really upped the ante with level of detail, level of interaction. It was almost like Oblivion in the amount of stuff you could touch and fuck with, and you know.
Well, and the gravity gun was a big deal. I mean,
their huge thing.
Yeah, there's a gun in the game where you could literally pick up anything in the environment and use it as a weapon, and things, you know, retain kind of their physical qualities, which was a big deal back then. I mean. Actually,
stuff would
I keep bringing up Bioshock, but I mean, I think it was the first game to use the Havoc engine. Is that right? I think it was. Because every game, I believe it
everyone
was.
Everyone uses Havoc physics now. I mean, that's the big physics engine.
Yeah. But I don't know. It's a good game. I haven't played it that much, but I can see why it's on the list. It was a big deal as far as first-person shooters go, and as far as, like Gog said, immersion and storyline. So, yeah, all right, sure.
And they definitely did a lot of cool shit with, like, there was, like, I don't believe that game had, if it had cutscenes, they were extremely minimal.
I think they were, and it was a lot all of the story was, stuff, wasn't it? I'm pretty sure it was.
Yeah, it was all in, I think it was almost all in-engine, and, like, you were looking at it through, essentially, the character's eyes, which I thought was
Gordon Freeman.
Cool.
Gordon
Freeman.
Four.
Number four is Halo. Oh, wait, no, we missed one. We missed number five, which is Metroid Prime.
Number five, I'm sorry.
Which I think is a little high on the list for a GameCube game.
Also never played
this,
so you're going to have to help me
on that
one.
It was very good. It was cool to see Metroid come back true to form and play like a Metroid game should with all the correct puzzle exploration stuff.
But in the first person, which was interesting.
But in the first person, and it made it really immersive. Like, I mean, it was a very good reboot of Metroid, but I don't know if it was as groundbreaking. I mean, it was kind of cool the way they did the HUD. I mean, they made, because you're in the helmet, it made you really feel like you were kind of in there, and every once in a while, I remember one of the coolest things I thought was every once in a while, like, you would catch the right reflection, you could see Samus's eyes reflect back in the helmet itself.
Well, that
I thought
cool.
That was kind of neat.
Metroid 1 was really groundbreaking because, you know, the original on the Nintendo, it was the first transvestite comic video game character.
That's true.
Ever, right?
Booker
that came out before that was before Super Mario Brothers 2, right?
Yeah, it was.
Okay.
Yeah. I never played Metroid. I played the Nintendo one, obviously. I played Super Metroid on Super Nintendo, but I never had a GameCube, so I never played Metroid Prime.
I did.
I will say that there's a new Metroid game coming out that Team Ninja, the team behind Ninja Gaiden and Dead or Alive, they're making a Metroid game called, like, The Other M. And it looks fucking amazing, but God only knows when it'll ever come out. Apparently it's been in development for, like, 3 years, so... But
it looks kind of pretty, and it looks like it's not going to play the same way. It's going to play more like a Ninja Gaiden game, I think. So
that'd be fine. That's fine by me. But
I mean,
anyway,
not like we're going to play it anyway.
Exactly.
Anyway,
let's move on to number four, which I already spoiled because I can't count.
Spoiler alert: Halo. Probably the right after GoldenEye, the most revolutionary home console first-person shooting experience.
Yeah.
As
much as I hate that game, and I never really liked it, and they said it in the video, it was a cultural phenomenon. I mean, it made people buy Xboxes. It was a system seller. I mean,
It sounds like... It might be kind of a dick thing to say. Like, I liked all the Halo games. I most of the time I just butt heads with people that love the games, like they can't see past them. Like some like Halo fans just love Halo. And I played all three. I played and beat all three Halo games. And I actually liked the story. I enjoyed the plot. I enjoyed the whole experience. I didn't really get into, I think online there's much better offerings than Halo 3 right now. But people still play it. So I guess they haven't got the memo yet. But,
I don't know. Halo, to me, was like a bad attempt at like Unreal Tournament because it's all the same stuff, like ridiculous weapons. Like, it's got the jumpy, floaty mechanic, which I don't really like. And I thought the single-player game, because the only one that I'd ever played and beat was Halo 3, right? Is that the one for 360? Was that 3?
Yeah, it's 3.
I beat that, and I thought it was so incredibly easy. Like, I had no interest in kind of playing it anymore. But I again, it's not about my opinion. I can definitely see it as being on the list because it really was a huge fucking deal. And it still is a big deal. People, like Gog said, people are ravenous Halo followers. So, I mean, it is what it is.
People still play it.
It is what it is.
But I remember it was such a big deal when Call of Duty 4 came out because that was finally like the Halo killer. Like,
yeah,
that was the one that toppled.
Yeah, I could see that. I mean, it makes sense. Again, I don't like Halo, but I can definitely see where they're
still
coming
play
from.
A game.
What's that, Zach?
I still play Halo 2 time to time. Just fun to play with.
Yeah. I mean, it's
now,
not...
Did you hear they're turning off those servers?
Why?
In, like, October.
Those bastards.
What's the Halo 2 servers?
The Halo 2 servers are going to be, like, off in, like, either this summer or this fall.
On the computer, or...
Honestly,
on
I don't play online. I play the front. So I don't care.
Okay.
So I guess...
Well, you're fine.
Oh, then you're fine.
They're going to come over and shut it off. They're going to unplug your controller.
No!
I
tell you what, though, what was really, I thought was a fascinating thing for Halo 2 multiplayer. Like when you logged into like Xbox Live and played it, you could go on to the Xbox Live website and look at all of your stats and actually review, like you could go into individual games and it would show you an overview map and it would like, it would point out every area where you got killed or you killed someone and like how it happened, when it happened, like the level of stat tracking that game provided, I thought was phenomenal.
Yeah, that's pretty nuts, especially for back then. You know what I mean? That's pretty crazy.
Yeah,
but number three,
as we were number three, Resident Evil 4.
Resident Evil 4.
Resident Evil 4.
Who did that? That was perfect.
That was Zach's.
Whoever did that, that was, phenomenal.
That was good.
Nice.
Resident Evil 4 has to be on the list. It really does.
Was
that's
that the
Resident
one
Evil.
That was in Africa?
Yeah,
no,
that
was
five.
Resident Evil 5.
No.
One that
okay. Five shouldn't belong. Five only belongs on like
America?
The shit list. What? What was all that?
Was that one in South America?
I thought it was in Africa.
No, this was in Spain.
Oh, Spain,
oh, no.
Sorry.
Resident Evil 4 was in Spain. Resident Evil 5 was in Africa.
Ah.
And it was, yeah, so.
Okay.
In honor of Black History Month, go play Resident Evil 5.
Nice.
Oh.
But that game, what's funny is Resident Evil 4 was awesome, and I played it on the Wii, and I loved it on the Wii, because I thought the controls worked really well for it.
Yeah.
But you take essentially the same controls and gameplay, and you put it in Resident Evil 5, and I fucking hated it. Like, that game was just, I don't get it. I don't know why. I think I could still play Resident Evil 4.
But
I just have no pleasant thoughts of Resident Evil 5.
4 is amazing. 4 really, it changed the game for Resident Evil. It took it out of that kind of stifled, stale direction it was in for so long. And it made it this kind of fresh, kind of third-person action game, working in the QuickTime events. It was pretty revolutionary. It's
for
a good pick.
For third-person shooters in general, too.
It's a good pick. Number two, it's getting late, if you can't tell I'm speeding things along.
No, it's okay. Number two, GTA 3.
My opinion should have been number one. I love the Grand Theft Auto series, but if you want to talk about cultural phenomenons and a game, not only a good game, but a game that people just stopped and noticed, Grand Theft Auto, for good or bad reasons.
Yeah.
Everybody
killed people, according to some lawyers.
Everybody took notice of Grand Theft Auto, and it was a good game on top of that, and it was different. There was no open world games before that. Now, unfortunately, there's a slew of shitty ones after it, but it's got to be said that it was pretty fucking ridiculous to have a whole living city that you could walk around in and pretty much do, you know, whatever you wanted. It was pretty amazing to do that. And the mission structures and all that stuff. Now, again, it's not Grand Theft Auto 3's fault that people have run that formula into the ground. That's not the issue. I love Grand Theft Auto 3, and I loved 4, and I love Vice City, and I even like San Andreas, even though it's probably my least favorite out of all of them. But I love that game. It definitely deserves to be on the list. In my opinion, like I said, it was up to me. I'd put it number one. Because I think it was a huge game, a huge influence on everything that's out there today. Not only in gameplay direction and art style and music and all that, but also in just content, because it really just went out there. I mean, you can kill prostitutes and you can bang them and then take their money. I mean, nobody was pushing the M rating that hard, and it really opened the door. I mean, people just don't care now. I mean, God of War, you can bang chicks. Apparently in Heavy Rain, there's a sequence so you can bang chicks. Violence is really pushing the envelope, which I love. I mean, give me the violence. Apparently, that Dante's Inferno game is there's so much. Apparently, I think Game Trailer said that in that Dante's Inferno game, there's more M-rated content than you're ever going to see in any other M-rated game, and I'm all for it. Amen. Like, bring it on. I think it's great. But what's your thoughts, Gogs, on GTA? I have filibustered
this
entire
GTA 3 really was. I remember the first time I got my hands on the controls of that, and I was like, holy shit. I mean, you can just walk around and just run a fucking muck. I mean, there was nothing you couldn't do. And on top of just being able to walk everywhere, you could interact with a ton of things. And you could.
Yep.
The fact that they made a living, breathing world, essentially, was like the new benchmark. It was like, well, now games need to. If games don't offer this, they better have a good fucking reason why they don't. Because
yep.
That's all there is to it. Now with. Because of GTA 3, you get games like Red Faction Guerrilla, like Assassin's Creed, like all of these games. Hell, Fallout 3 and Oblivion, I think, owe Grand Theft Auto 3 a little, you know, thank you, because that's a game that made freedom an option. You were off the path, and it made linear a four-letter word. So I loved it. I thought it was one of the best innovations in gameplay, and we're reaping the benefits till this day.
Yeah, I totally agree. But Jude, I understand you have a few thoughts on the Grand Theft Auto series, sir.
Yeah, you know, I was playing. I played Grand Theft Auto the first one when it came out in like 1997.
Down. Yeah,
yeah, the top view one.
I had it,
which was interesting. Yeah, I had a pirated copy of it. It was in my first year in college. I had a pirated copy of the game, and I found out that all of the missions for the game, like all the dialogue, all the text,
right,
was stored in text files on the hard drive. if you had it on the computer, so you could actually go into the text files and change all the dialogue to make your own story.
Now that's awesome.
Game, which I did, which was pretty fucking funny. But, you know, I mean, that was a groundbreaking game in itself, because it was
yeah.
the first game where you really played, like, the bad guy.
Sure.
I mean, there weren't really any redeeming characteristics about the character.
Yeah, there's no reason
GTA
you should
1.
Be doing that.
Yeah, I agree.
The GTA 4, at least, you kind of felt like a sympathetic character. Like, they at least kind of put you in a situation, kind of.
Well, yeah. That's what I don't like about it as much with GTA 4 and GTA now. Like GTA San Andreas, even, they made a more a gray area kind of character there, where he's kind of sympathetic. He has certain moral code. You know, I mean, GTA 3 was all about, like, killing hookers and fucking...
Well,
the value of it was that you could... game with no morals at all.
But I think that the direction that they changed, and I think personally it's for the better. In the first GTA, in the first 3D GTA, there was really no plot, so to speak. Like, you were a nameless character, really. You were like the main character in like an old Japanese RPG. Like, you just put your name in, so to speak, and all the characters kind of talked around you. But after Vice City came out, they made more of an effort to tell, like, a complete story. And I think it's easier for them to kind of make it a little bit more of a gray area, because you can tell a better story that way. I mean, it still didn't limit the players to... I mean, you could still do whatever the hell you wanted. I mean, you could play it your own way. I mean, it didn't mean, like... Just because Nico had his kind of rumblings with what he felt, you know, he should do, it didn't mean you couldn't just go around and slaughter everybody on the street. You know what I mean?
I think that Grand Theft Auto Vice City was, like, I think it's still my favorite of all of them. 4 was really good, and I enjoyed beating that and everything. But, man, I really loved Vice City. I thought that was just the fucking, that was the shit. Owning
yeah, I hope,
the territory,
I hope if they ever,
setting up the businesses.
I kind of hope that that whenever the next GTA comes out, that they'd go back to Vice City. I don't know.
Get Ray
what
Liotta to do the voice work again, because that was fucking great.
Yeah,
they should
I like,
go to the 70s too for some better real music.
That would be cool.
They're not having some, you know, great soundtrack if the music keeps coming from modern music.
I feel like too with their
music
selections is like they went through, they've gone through so many games, they've already gotten like a bunch of decent soundtracks, so now they're kind of scraping, it seems like. Like, I didn't think
well,
the soundtrack in 4 was very good. But
the Lost in the Dam soundtrack's pretty great. It's got Iron Maiden on it and stuff. Yeah,
oh,
like
cool.
it's additional music.
New music for that.
Oh, you get new music.
Yeah, I didn't know you got
shit.
New music. That's cool.
You get new music and you get new weapons and new gameplay mode. I've been digging it for $30 or whatever. You can get both expansion packs. I haven't even touched the Ballad of Gay Tony yet, but that has.
Cool.
I looked through the manual. You know, they list all the credits of all the music and stuff. There's new music for that too. So.
Oh, that's pretty cool. I didn't know that. But getting back to Jude's point, I definitely see where you're coming from, Jude. I don't know. I kind of like the whole like complete storyline because I think that Rockstar. I mean, they didn't really do this in Grand Theft Auto 3, but they've done it throughout the series. They've also kind of pushed the boundaries as far as telling a story and getting, like, really good voice actors and stuff like that. Like, voice acting in video games, I mean, it's still bad in a lot of games, Heavy Rain. But it's really good in Grand Theft Auto. I mean, there's, like, 700...
And they get some talent.
There's, like, 700 characters, and they all have pretty good voice acting. Even, like, the cab drivers and shit have good voice acting. It's, like...
Some of them are, they got a lot of famous people.
But I can see your point.
They had Axl Rose as a DJ in, what was it, San Andreas?
Oh, you're right. Yep, that's right.
And they've had... Grand Theft Auto 4 had all the guys from Opie and Anthony made cameo.
It had...
Didn't Iggy Pop post one of the...
Iggy Pop was he did the rock station, yeah, and what's her name? The chick from Natural Born Killers, Juliette Lewis. She did like the indie hipster station,
like as herself, I think. Like,
yeah, it was her. It was as herself. But I don't know. But I love those games. I'm a big fan, and I will keep talking about this game until after it comes out, and hopefully it'll be awesome. Red Dead Redemption. 8
looks awesome.
It's going to be amazing. I can't fucking wait. I'm so excited for that game. I cannot fucking wait. Hopefully your horse has a radio in it. You can listen to it. It'll have good music.
Nice.
It'll like Sergio
All twangy
Leone.
Shit.
That'd be awesome. I can't wait for that game. But, anyway.
Oh. All right, well, before we get on to number one, two quick things. One, you know, like Jude was saying, modifying the text files in Grand Theft Auto to make your own story. Along that same vein, I don't know if anyone else has ever seen this, but in the game, I'm sure I've showed it to you, Topo, in Left 4 Dead, people on the computer modded they took the sound file and they replaced all the zombie waves with Macho Man Randy Savage wave bites. You can like YouTube it and you'll like see like a wave, like a huge horde of zombies coming at you. And they're like, "Oh yeah!" And they're like, "Step into his limbs!" Like they're just yelling random Randy Savage noises at you.
That's awesome.
Which I think is awesome. And the other thing was, when we were talking about Onimusha or whatever earlier,
Onimusha,
game Onimusha, the game I was thinking of that was like it was like super ridiculous. If you ever played it, was called I think I'm gonna butcher it. It's called Otagi, Otogi.
Oh, I think I know what you're talking. That was like a first gen PlayStation 2 game, right?
It's like a PlayStation 2 Xbox game. They made a sequel to it, and it was just like it's ridiculous. Like it's just really over the top, crazy. That's a game I actually wouldn't mind them bringing back. I thought that was kind of fun. But anyway,
all right,
coming on
number
one, World of Warcraft.
Ugh.
The biggest thing that ever happened to gaming in the last 10 years.
Yeah.
Hands down.
As much as
you
I
can't
hate
argue.
Video games, it did. But it's like I said to you today when you sent me this video. You're right. It's the biggest thing in games. It's been around for, what, 7 years? And it's still, people are
still
playing
years.
Basically
the
same
game.
But you know what? It's still stupid. And I don't care what you say. It's still dumb. And
people don't like it. That's. I mean, people don't like it. I mean, I don't play it anymore. I mean, but
you did.
It's hard to argue. I did.
And
I played it a lot.
That stigma will never leave you. I will never. You know, you'll always be diminished in my eyes because of it.
That's fine. But when you look at this game, it's It's got, like we said earlier in the program, it's got 12 million users paying monthly subscription fees to play it.
Oh, yeah.
It's got, it's just...
You're right. It's, you can't argue
huge.
Its success. You cannot argue its success. I agree.
And as a game, it's not bad. It's just addictive and never ends, and it can ruin your life.
Well, that's not a bad thing. I mean, it's not a bad that it's addictive. That's actually a good thing if you're a video game. It's like we keep saying, you know, you don't want to put something down. So
Well, like for an example, here's like, I guess, almost a positive thing. I guess it's not really positive, but it kind of is. It brought in so many people that weren't even gamers. Like, there's our mutual acquaintance, Mark, you know, he didn't really play video games at all. And then he got into WoW because he saw the value in a game that you could basically, like, that's like the only game you needed to play. Like,
right.
There was tons of stuff to do. You don't have to keep buying new games, whatever else. And he loved it. Now he stopped playing, but now he actually video games and he enjoys gaming as an, you know, a hobby. There is and you run into the most random World of Warcrafters. Like, another friend of ours, Ben, he's got the girl he went to college with, a friend of his wife's, really cute, you know, found out, like, I was up there for, like, St. Patrick's Day, like, last year, and we're bullshitting, and I found out she had, like, a level 80 undead rogue, and I'm like, what the fuck? That doesn't even make sense, but this shit happens, so
well,
it's a game that tons of people play, like, more people play than you think, and...
Yeah, I agree. It bothers me, because I hate it so much.
It's a phenom, and it's often imitated and never duplicated. No one has been able, that Conan game tried, there's been a couple of superhero games that have tried, that Warhammer game tried, like, and they still have, like, sort of following. Star Trek just launched an MMO, but nothing has been able to. The only thing that they're thinking might have a chance is that new Star Wars MMO that they're still working on.
It'll probably fail,
and that,
just like Galaxy.
It'll probably fail too. Everything's gonna fail.
But so
eventually,
World of
the only thing that's gonna beat World of Warcraft
is World of Warcraft 2.
When they put out World of StarCraft, I'll play it.
I'll play it for
at least a couple of months.
I kind of like
StarCraft. I bet you play it.
I probably will, because I love StarCraft so much.
But there you go. That's the top 10 of the decade.
All right. Well, we're gonna wrap up the show. It is insanely late. I think I remember saying in the beginning of the show I wanted a quick show, but we've actually gone later than we usually do.
We wanted a quick, efficient show.
11:15. But
you know, I need to make a bumper with you guys talking about how you were going to end the show early.
Yeah,
but you didn't do it.
Because we do it every episode. I think I do it every week. But fortunately,
also,
I didn't
make a bumper for the racist Southern senator, the anonymous racist Southern senator.
Jude, you need to listen to the beginning of the show. We had a bunch of guests that I think you'd appreciate, and I think there's a lot of sound clips to be used.
Excellent.
But I got a new segment that I started. Last week, our pick of the Gogs and Topo Pick'em segment, where Gogs and I refer you to something, and because we're so awesome, we need to tell you what to do with your lives. Oh God, I need to stop eating Chef Boyardee, making me gassy. But
you sound like
Gogs,
that fat guy.
What is your pick'em of the week?
My pick'em this week is actually something I just heard about last night. This might seem like another odd pick'em for me.
It's fun.
But it's a music pick'em, and it's a guy by the name of Paddy Keenan. And apparently I just heard about him last night on NPR, because I listen to NPR, our rival for online entertainment.
I don't really consider NPR a rival, but okay.
I think we draw from the same audience.
Any form
honestly,
of media,
I think.
I suppose.
We need to start having our own pledge drives, like our own mole-hole. You love the program when we break you
an idea.
Mole-hole.
That
Why
is
not send us some money? We'll send you a tote bag, you know.
We'll
maybe
send him
the
shirt that Tim's going to help us design. There you go.
Yeah.
Or he's going to design it, we're going to make. How about that?
Yeah, but I love it. But Paddy Keenan, this guy's been around forever. He plays, like, Irish pipes and low flute. Like, if you go to, like, an Irish bar on, like, St. Patrick's Day, you always have some Irish band. Oh, I love
this music. That fucking music.
Oh,
so it's like
I
the
fucking
music,
love it.
It's like the music you hear in every, like, bad fantasy movie in the background. Like,
oh, it's like the music you hear in, like, all the good parts of Braveheart.
Oof. Well,
not your cup of tea, but
no.
If you like that kind of shit, which apparently I found out last night that I love it. Patty Keenan, check him out. It's fucking cool.
Yeah, that's a good check 'em. That's a good pick 'em, I should say, not a check them. My pick 'em for the week. Would you like to know what that is, Gox?
I would love to know what that is.
Would you like to know that? I spent I don't know, pretty much hours and hours and hours of my time watching It's Always Sunny. What was the last season, Gox? Five. It's on my
Five.
PlayStation, so I don't remember. Everybody needs to watch It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. I'm pretty sure it's available on Hulu, I think. Season 5 is absolutely fucking hilarious. The whole show, if you watch Season 5, go back and watch 1, 2, 3, and 4. That whole show is, I don't think they made a bad episode yet. It's fucking hilarious. And I can watch the same episode over and over and over again. It still makes me laugh. So I'm doing two television shows. Last week, I believe I recommended you Archer, and this week I'm recommending It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, which I promote all the time because I love the show, and I love it, in fact, more. No, I'm not going to say that. Almost as much as I love GOGS.
Oh, you.
And
you can get right now. Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead. No, you go ahead, please.
I said, I think right now you can get all five seasons either through Fox's online store or Amazon for like $70.
There you go.
All the DVDs.
That's pretty sweet. Also, as a rider to that, to my pick'em segment, go to cracked.com. That website is fucking hilarious. I can't stop going to, like, that is my time waster during the day. I'm on their website. Their articles and lists, They did a list that I found particularly hilarious, and it was like six artists that have a past that they hope that you forget. And it's stuff like Tori Amos, who we all know is this kind of pompous, kind of odd, like, I don't even know what to call her, alternative rock folk singer. She was in this really shitty, like, weird 80s techno band called Tori Can't Read or something. It's unbelievably funny, and the guy's captions are really funny, and everything's great. And of course, they make fun of Pantera for their metal magic days. And the one I didn't even know about was what the hell is it? Alice in Chains used to have like a Z in their name, and they used to be, of all people, Alice in Chains, like depressing, sludgy heroin rock. They used to be a hair metal band, and it's pretty embarrassing. But yeah, cracked.com, free plug, great website. Go check that shit out. And it is coming up on 11:30, so I'd like to go around the
good
room.
Good night.
I know, right? Zex, you still there, buddy? Still awake?
Yes, I am.
Would you like to wish the audience a farewell or any closing words?
Good night, folks.
There you go. I like it. Very Resident Evil. Mr. Jude Terror.
Don't do milk. Stay in drugs.
I like it. And I also agree because I hate milk, but I love drugs. Goggles, what do you have to say for yourself?
Don't mock fat people. They have rights too, apparently.
Yeah.
And they love ribs.
We do.
They do love ribs.
They love them.
And they love taking deep, heavy breaths. And
they love not making a point.
Of course, I am El Topo, your host. Thanks again for tuning in. Had a lot of fun tonight, and we'll see you again at 8:30 Eastern Standard Time. Go check us out on iTunes. Type in the Molehole Radio. Go check out our favorite website, theouthousers.com. That's www.theouthousers.com. Go listen to the Outhousers podcast if you want to take a nap, and I'll see you guys later.
Woo!
Time for your medication, Mr. Brown.